thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, we're back live. It's the Urban Sports Scene. Oh, I guess Urban Sports Scene Radio, if that makes any darn sense. I'm Wally. Well, don't worry about it. You can't hear you right now. I can hear you now. They can hear you now. They can hear you now. Where's your headphones? Follow them, the yellow brick road, son.
I need headphones, man.
That's here somewhere. Pick them up, right?
Hi. This is Wally Akinson.
No, actually, I have
all right. Hey, hold on.
I was going to play the
ad. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Everybody can hear you.
All right. Zoom the camera in on me.
Zoom the camera in on you? Yes. There's no camera.
Zoom the camera in on me.
Okay, it's zoomed in now, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Jared Dudley, you don't want to make an enemy out of me. Ooh. It's Carmelo Anthony. You know what I'm saying?
Because he fried him?
He did.
Oh, he fried him.
I'm just a bit that's mad at Jared Dudley. I'm mad at light-skinned people right now. It's the second week in a row. Don't bring your baggage to the Wizards. The Wizards swept the Knicks last year, including a blowout on Christmas. And then as soon as you run your mouth, look what happens.
Hey,
and he smiled while doing it.
Will T, you're a Knicks fan. Did that make you happy seeing? Did you go to the game?
No, I actually ended up not going.
Okay.
No, like I told you, I'm a Knicks and a Wizards fan. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of torn. You know what I mean?
But you're more of a Knicks fan, though, right?
I'm more of a Knicks. I'm more of a Knicks fan.
Melo and Ham. How much did Melo have?
37.
Like 37.
And then he hit a clutch jumper over Dudley at that. And Dudley didn't say anything. I haven't seen any comments.
Did Dudley play over? I didn't watch. I watched the beginning, and Melo was just going crazy because I had the party bus thing we were talking about after during the break or before the show started. Otto Porter looked okay. Then I left.
Otto Porter but he was decent. Getting. Yeah, he looked decent.
The Wizards started out strong to where I was like, you know what? They're going to run the Knicks off the court. But I had to leave the house. I had my own personal obligation. And come to find out, the Knicks had come back and took a halftime lead. And then watching the end of that game, Carmelo took over. He was the difference maker. It is what it is. But, yeah.
And we'll talk about the Wizards.
Yeah, when we get there.
Yeah, when we get there. But I wanted to know about the game because I wanted to watch the game. I was stuck, but I was running late, though, because I had to be one of the mainstays for this party bus event that we ran. It was good. It was hosted by This Date Is Over. So it was a good event. A lot of people showed up. My boy Harold showed up. It was probably the life of the party. I won't say why, but he was the life of the party.
Snacks.
Again, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140.
What are you drinking?
Juice. Juice, son. Well, you smell it?
I do. Yeah, I do. You know, I've been redeemed for a long time now, man. So my nose starts to
it's just juice.
Starts to twitch a little
it's
bit.
It's juice. It's cool juice, man.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. That's juice. Why you all nice. He offered me some chips when I came in. He'll never have snacks for the show. He's starving like a mug.
You want some chips, Wilty?
Can we switch? Chairs? You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm on this like contact thing right now, man.
Okay, my bad. Put this away from the side.
No, it don't matter where it is. It needs to go in the fridge. You know it's killing me right now.
I will put it in the fridge, man. I will put it in the fridge, man. I'll keep it away from you.
I'm going off.
I'm a team player.
I didn't introduce myself, did I?
I introduced you already.
All right, thanks.
And everybody knows who you are now. Who listens to the show?
You call me Jay.
Nah, go ahead. Red was calling him Jay all week. I mean, all day last week. All right,
some Silver Springs.
All right, man. We need that easy saying. That easy saying, Wilty.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Because I'm talking about the Nationals. We hired Dusty Baker as manager. I think last week we said it was going to be Bud Black. That was the report, right?
That was what was reported by the Washington Post that after the World Series, the Nats will make an announcement that Bud Black will be the next skipper or manager for the Washington Nationals. But 2 days after the World Series change, Dusty Baker's in.
I heard that it was a issue finalizing a contract with Bud Black, which is why the Nationals went the other route. But I also heard that Dusty Baker was on a short list anyway. And they reconsidered after the contract negotiations fell through with Bud Black.
Yeah, I also heard that it was more. Well, the rumor is that it's more of a what's the name of the GM for the Nats?
Rizzo.
Rizzo and Lerner basically had a difference of opinion. Lerner wanted Dusty Baker. Rizzo wanted Black. But he, to stay face, he gave he said, Bud Black, this is what I want you to offer. Rizzo, this is what I want you to offer Bud Black. This, he lowballed him with an amount, and knowing that he was going to say no,
pretty much gave him a 1 year offer.
Yeah, and for $6 million. $6 million. He knew he was going to say no. Rizzo knew that was an insulting offer, but he offered it to Bud Black. Bud Black felt insulted, and he knew. And Dusty Baker got the 2 year deal. You know what I mean? So Dusty Baker got a 2 year deal.
I mean, any way you look at it, either you know, Bud Black or Dusty Baker, they both would have been on short term phase because
it seems about winning now.
Yeah, it's all about win now. If you don't win now, then we're going to get you out of the door. The learners there. Pressing to bring a World Series to Washington, D.C. Hopefully Dusty Baker is the guy who can do it. You know, he's been a three-time National League Manager of the Year. This is a guy who's been able to effectively communicate with star players during his time at his at San Francisco and Cincinnati. So he'll bring one characteristic that a lot of people were saying was lacking in that clubhouse, which is communication. Being able to communicate with all of the players in the clubhouse and on the roster.
And also one thing that I would agree with you, Wilty, and it's a term that, you know, I think a lot of people use for Dusty Baker. He is a player's manager. I want to say player's coach. I'm used to saying the term coach, but he's a player's manager. He's a guy that people relate to. So I think it'd be good for somebody like Bryce Harper. I really do. I think Dusty Baker, compared to Matt Williams had an issue. Bryce Harper and Matt Williams, it seemed that they had issues. Dusty Baker is a guy who relates to many, related to Barry Bonds, related to Matt Williams when Matt Williams was a player for his team, and also related to Kent, who was the second baseman for his Giants. So I think it's a good hire. I think it's an excellent hire. I think it's a blessing in disguise, to be honest with you. You could have got Bud Black. It's a guy that many Nats fans wanted. But at the same time, Dusty Baker's won on three different teams. He's taken three different teams to the postseason. And that's something you can say he's never won the big game. But at the same time, you have to not acknowledge that to take three different teams to the postseason is an accomplishment in its own right. Not every manager wins a World Series.
Very true. But we definitely do know that once spring training starts, then the countdown to be on until either get a World Series or you'll be out. It's interesting that I'm not going to stay on this too long. But
I'm going to read some tweets after this.
Yeah, you hire a guy. Well, he'll be the second oldest manager in baseball. And to me, I just don't know the direction of this team. Are they trying to rebuild? Are they trying to sustain and make another run? You know, so it'd be interesting to see how Dusty Baker is able to manage this team throughout next season.
The fan base is excited, the general consensus from what I could see. But many of us are focused too much on Bryce Harper. We don't know what the rest of the roster is going to look like, which is a problem for me. Secondly is I had a change of heart over the course of the past week for the simple fact that we cannot harp too much on the fact that Dusty Baker hasn't won a World Series. I mean, you're not going to find too many managers out there who've already won a World Series.
True.
So he's still a good hire. Again, my personal choice was Ozzie Guillen, but we clearly know that the Nationals weren't going to go there. Yeah. So I am excited because postseason baseball is still exciting. It's something that is nice to have on a consistent basis. I don't know what you all think, but baseball, out of all the major professional sports, is probably one of the hardest. MLB is probably the hardest to make the postseason.
No, I agree. I think consistently, yes. That's what the Royals, and we'll talk about later. That's why I think the Royals have been such a phenomenal team. And the Cardinals as well, too, over the last some odd years. And the Giants. Yeah. They've been very consistent. The Royals to get to go to back-to-back World Series, that's an amazing accomplishment. You have teams that fall off to the wayside after getting to a certain level.
Look at the Mets.
Like the Mets. The Mets, who's to say next year the Mets will even be at this level? You're already talking about Cespedes. Cespedes probably won't come back for this team next year.
No Cespedes, no Murphy.
No Murphy. So, and you can't bank on that young pitching, period. Because, you know, look what happened down here in D.C. The Nationals have a great young pitching staff, but you can't expect for them to pitch the same way every season. Fister didn't pitch the same way he pitched last year. So it's I'm with Ray. It's not a consistent thing. It's not something that can happen every year. You can't always have a team won't make the postseason every year. So again, it's all about consistency for the Nationals ball club to say, okay, Dusty Baker, can he be a guy that can always have this team in contention? Because they have the talent, they have the tools. It's all about, you know, bringing it out of Bryce Harper, bringing it out of Taylor, bringing it out of Espinoza, he's going to be here. Zimmerman. What's the young kid? Trey Turner. Because these are guys Dusty Baker's going to have to relate to.
Michael Taylor.
Saying thank you. Michael Taylor. These are guys he has to relate to. But on Twitter, so not on Twitter, on Facebook, I asked the question about Dusty Baker. Was it a hire that, you know, that, you know, the Nats fans would like or did like? Excuse me. My man Chris Metting said no. My man Tom Costino said, I prefer they hire their first choice, which is Bud Black. But I wonder if it was a Gardenhire didn't make it. Gardenhire didn't make it to the second round to round two because he said he needed at least 3 years. He wanted a 3-year deal. But that's Gardenhire is the manager for the Minnesota Twins, ex-manager for the Minnesota Twins, took his team to the postseason a bunch of times. Gardenhire would have been a good hire. Again, I think the Nats needed a manager who got to the post, who's been to the postseason on a consistent basis, rather than having a young manager or a manager who's been there every, you know, every which way. I'd rather have the Nats have a guy who's been there before on a consistent level, because I think this team is still is talented enough that you don't have to be the best manager in the world to get this team to the World Series. But if you are an effective manager, a known commodity, this, I think that their chances to get into the World Series be much better. But anyway, down to pregame, the Royals, mentioned the Royals. The Royals won the World Series 4-1, beating the New York Mets. Any impressions of any thoughts about the World Series that you like or whatever?
The Royals were clutch after, you know, from the seventh inning on for the games that I saw. Well, let me keep it 100, totally 100% honest with you. I watched minimal of the World Series. I just, you know, I watched the highlights, especially Sunday night when you had Peyton Manning versus Aaron Rodgers on NBC for the Sunday night game of the week. So I can't say I watched any of the final closeout game, but congratulations to the fans in Kansas City. Kansas City, they played baseball the right way. Everyone, you know, getting on, keep the line moving. Good defense.
I went to sleep. Sorry on the closeout game, but I had a feeling that once the Royals tied the game 2-2, that they had it, because at that point it's mental with the Mets. And the desire was there, as you pointed out, and as everybody's pointed out, going to the World Series last year was a huge bonus for them in their motivation level this season. Although the Mets was a great story, don't get me wrong. As a Nationals fan, I guess it's hard to say that, but the experience factor really paid off, and I thought that would be the case. Although, you know, if you had to, I guess, compare the two teams, the Royals had to overcome far more adversity to get there. They didn't sweep anybody.
Oh, you're talking about with the postseason.
Yeah, gotcha. I mean, the Blue Jays was a tough challenge.
The Astros, they had to come back.
Right.
And that game,
that's what I'm saying. So yeah, they overcame a lot of adversity. And you see that oftentimes with teams. When they have to overcome adversity, especially in the postseason, it's huge. A la like Cleveland last year didn't have to overcome any adversity, really. I mean, they did have to overcome injuries, don't get me wrong. But they breezed through. They breezed through to the championship. Versus, you know, Golden State, they were hungry. They played more competition in the West, although they ducked some big teams. But it's just a comparison. So I think it's huge whenever you have to make a playoff run. The Ravens with Flacco did it a few years back, coming back on Denver, getting a miracle win. Same thing with the Giants. The last time they won the Super Bowl, and winning in Green Bay, they beat Dallas too, I think, that year in the playoffs.
Yeah. So what would you say? Obviously, Terry Collins, manager for the Mets, has been getting flack, and he even blamed himself for that ninth inning. He had Harvey out there. Harvey pitched well, had pitching a shutout. Filling all the hype from the fans. Harvey basically wanted to go back out there in that ninth. Would you have sat Harvey in the ninth, or you would have handled a different way?
No, very simple. No, why sit him? This is the World Series, you know what I mean? I don't know what's the rationale behind it. I didn't hear what he said.
No. He just knows what
to. No, I think it's interesting that we're talking about Matt Harvey, you know, in the defining game in the World Series, because all of the talk about prior to the World Series and prior to the playoffs in the last couple of weeks of the seasons was Matt Harvey, you know, coming off the Tommy John surgery. He had he had an innings limit. His agent came out and said, well, we don't want him pitching.
Scott Boras.
Scott Boras don't want him pitching 100 and what? I don't know, like 140 or 60 innings, somewhat like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're discussing him pitching all the way through the ninth inning, giving up the critical runs that help essentially cinch the series and close it out for Kansas City. So I just think it's interesting that we're talking about that at this point.
No, I agree. But you know what? Again, it's the World Series. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I wouldn't expect him to be on to any type of count, knowing this is his chance to get to the World Series and win a World Series. We saw not too long ago with Steven Strasburg when they sat him. And, you know, granted, I'm with the whole I was with sitting him at that time, because to me that showed that you valued the player more than anything. You're taking care of the player, making sure that your asset is taken care of down the road. But I'm not going to knock, you know, the Mets organization or even Harvey for going. I feel like he went past his pitch count. I mean, that's what I feel like. He went past his pitch count, and I thought it was a funny, you know, I thought it was funny for anybody to keep bringing it up. It's the World Series. This team is the Mets. No one thought the Mets were going to go to the World Series or even have this kind of season. So everything was a bonus. I'm not sitting him for an opportunity to win a World Series. I wouldn't do that at all. But for that ninth inning, how I would have handled the ninth inning, I would have had him come out. I would have had him out in that ninth inning, because I'm with everybody. Like, what I'm with you, Ray. Like, what you expecting him to do? And he was pitching awesome. It was the opportunity for him to shut the door down. He probably wasn't going to pitch again in the series anyway. But once the leadoff man got on base, I would have took him out. He would have had that type of thing. I wouldn't give him the opportunity to get out of the inning once the leadoff. I forgot who it was. I wanted to say it was Kane, but I'm sure I'm incorrect. I believe it was Kane. Yeah, once Kane got on base, I would have sat him out. That would have been me. Once Kane got on base, because I knew they're going to steal, and Hoffman's going to be at the plate to do damage. I would have sat him out. He would have to have a clean inning for me to keep him in the game. Disagree? Agree? Guess not.
No, that's your opinion. I don't think it was meant to be up for debate or anything, right? I thought you were just sharing your thoughts.
I didn't want to jump in and say,
yeah, I piggyback or no.
Don't piggyback. Not at all, son.
it was pretty well thought out. And
much appreciated. Okay, so for Terry Collins, could this have a Matt Williams moment? With Matt Williams compared to what happened with Jordan Zimmerman in that
No, game. I'm going to say no quickly, because, again, you highlighted it just a minute ago. They had a great season. Going to the World Series was a bonus on top of the season they had, winning the NL East when nobody expected them to. So once the raw emotions, decrease or are no longer there, you can look back and say, man, I appreciate this Mets team and this Mets season. And I think for Terry Collins, it bodes well for him, the fact that you took this team, a team that, when's the last time the Mets have been to the playoffs? It's been a while, right?
It's been a while. It's Mike
right.
Piazza.
We can't remember, right?
Mike Piazza, maybe?
That's the point. We can't just come off the top of our head and say, okay, this is the last time the Mets have been there. So the fact that not only did you get back to the postseason, you swept the Cubs, which is great for baseball, because the Cubs are cursed, and now that Bartman curse comes here with Dusty Baker, by the way. It does, because that was a year that his team looked like they could potentially go to the World Series, the Cubs. So you have that element. You sweep the Cubs. After you, who did they beat in the first round? Forgive me.
The Mets. They beat the – good God.
In the divisional round.
Beat the – oh, God.
Dodgers.
Dodgers.
And the Dodgers, look at them. I thought the Dodgers would win.
Me too.
I did better pitching staff. And we saw it was a managerial change. So I think you had a great, great, I want to emphasize that word, postseason run. Terry Collins is there at least another 2 years. Now, if they falter next year, maybe they go another direction. But he showed what he can do, and he showed what the potential of his team.
So could the Royals become a dynasty then? Back to the Royals.
Why? Because Will T had a very specific definition of what constitutes.
I mean, my thing is, could have the potential, not to say that what they're doing now, they just two straight World Series, they just won one within their, because they're a young team
And they're going to bring all their pieces back.
Yeah, bring all their pieces back. Could they be a dynasty?
I mean, I'm not going to say dynasty. I'm not going to say dynasty. It's
the rock.
To me, you know, like I said, dynasty, you have to be two back-to-back. You have to get a back-to-back championship to be considered
a baseball, though?
I said, could they? I didn't say not now, though.
I'm just saying, baseball, Wally just said it's hard to even make the postseason back-to-back
years. Baseball is very random. They have the potential. They have the potential, because they're such a young team, but they do lack the pitching.
I agree.
Let me ask you this.
Not the previous Red Sox team, but under Frank Kona, would you consider that era a dynasty in Red Sox history?
No.
Oh, man.
It's only dynasty. If they won, Will's.
The Yankees.
Yeah, definition. I would say, I can't even say the Giants, because the Giants, they win back-to-back. Every other year.
There is a
I think that's as thorough as it gets.
No, I mean don't get me wrong. That's a very dominant era to me to be a dynasty. You got to get back to back. That's what I consider a dynasty back to back. Because the second time is even harder because everyone's going to give you your best effort.
My thing is, well, in baseball, you can't really game plan. I mean, you can pitch around people and stuff, but it's not like basketball where you make a whole lot of adjustments.
It depends where you pitch. Like, if you pitch in the National League, the game planning is better compared to the
American League. So, are you saying that people can be more prepared for the Mets next season? I mean, it's not a
huge... You can.
Can you really do differently?
What you can do is, depending on how they set their pitch... Like, in baseball, every lineup stays about the same.
It's situational. If a team is hitting better next season, then that makes a big difference.
Depending on who they have is on their team in their lineup. So Cespedes won't be there probably, right?
Cespedes will not be.
Okay, so you'll pitch him differently, Duda won't see pitches because he's the only power bat in the lineup. You can pitch differently to this team now next season compared to how they were pitched this season. There are ways you can strategize.
Well, if you include roster changes, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the whole dynasty talk, I mean, from my vantage point, if you have sustained success and there is a championship or multiple championships within that period, I think it's fine. Like, to me, the Braves, going back to the 90s, were a dynasty, even though they only won one championship. Because they went to the World Series constantly. They went to the playoffs.
So the Buffalo Bills were a dynasty?
No, they didn't win one. They didn't win one. If they won one, yes. And some people do consider the Buffalo Bills
a losing dynasty. It's a losing dynasty. It is. It's a losing dynasty.
It's sustained success.
It's a losing dynasty.
You would like the Eagles to have a dynasty.
He's no longer an Eagles fan because of Riley Cooper.
So if Riley Cooper leaves, then you'll be a fan again?
No, he don't like the organization, period.
I don't like the organization. I don't like how the whole
Riley Cooper can't hold grudges forever, man.
You don't know me.
It's Will
T. Dude, if you're gonna base it off that, then you might as well hate a lot of franchises. You might as well hate Kentucky basketball because Adolph Rupp wouldn't let a back player play until
I'm not a Kentucky fan.
I'm just saying, you probably like the fact that Calipari wins every year with them, though. Like every college basketball fan.
No, not really.
I knew you was going to be tough around there.
Like I said, I'm a Georgetown fan.
Okay.
You're a Hoyer fan.
So talk to John Thompson.
And a Carolina fan.
Talk to John Thompson then about how he was treated when he first became a coach and why he went the route he did. So you shouldn't like them either.
No, he should like Georgetown. They're a great team.
Because
we are Georgetown.
I should because
and the Eagles
John
gave Michael Vick a chance. Yes, they gave a perceived bigot a chance too. But hey, why Riley Cooper deserved a chance just like Michael Vick deserved a chance?
We can rehash that whole scenario if you want.
I don't work for the Eagles.
No, I'm not upset. I didn't want Riley Cooper to lose his job anyway. Like
no, he's a no, fan. I, he's playing football. No, he's playing sport.
No, I didn't want Riley Cooper to lose his job. Because he didn't deserve to lose his job. Uh-huh. But should the situation have been handled differently? Yes.
They overlooked it, you think?
Yes, they overlooked it. They swept it under the rug. If I'm sorry. Just for me, that says a lot about how you think about how you view racism within your organization.
Listen to this. The definition of dynasty is a succession of people from the same family who play a prominent role in a business, politics, or another field. Succession, sustained succession. That's basically what I'm seeing here for a dynasty definition. You know what I'm saying?
It's The Rock.
It's hilarious too. I looked when I was looking up Dynasty. I saw
Jay-Z.
A Dynasty buffet come up. I don't know where it's located. Dynasty it buffet just sounds weird. Like it might be good, right?
Weird. Dynasty
probably
buffet?
Asian. No, I'm just saying that.
That's wrong with that. Asian buffets are the
going
best.
Back to your question. My bad. I know I kind of went.
Nah, I'm not going. I'm not mad. But I'm not mad at the buffet talk. Real talk.
I'm gonna look that up. But the whole the whole point was the Royals can beat. They have they clearly have the potential.
Potential. This is potential.
They do have the potential because they lost one World Series, then won the next one. No, seriously.
You know, he found a buffet. He found a buffet.
Dynasty buffet is closed permanently.
Oh my god.
It was located in Fredericksburg.
I dropped the pen. Go ahead. Continue. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Wilty.
Oh no. They do have the opportunity because yes, they lost one World Series. They came back and won another one, and they definitely will be favorites to win, to go back to another one. So yes, absolutely. They do have a definite. All right,
so
have the possibility.
I'm gonna tie this into the Nats then. The Mets, like we said, they're losing Cespedes. Does this make the Nats the favorites? Do you think of the Nats as the favorites in the NL East?
No, I mean, if the champion is in the NL East until the champion is dethroned, specifically coming into that next season, I have to think that the champion has the best opportunity to get back there. They know how they've done it before. They know the path to wish to take, and they know how to get there.
I can't answer that right now. I got to see what the Braves are going to do off season, and we'll go from there. I'm not at all. And you know what else? The Marlins are going to be better next year.
The Braves?
The Marlins are going to be
better. The Marlins, I can see.
The Marlins are going to be better. I know. I want to see what type of moves the Braves made. That's all I'm saying. At this point, I'm not counting Philly as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But
never yet.
I could totally see the Marlins taking a step forward next year.
All right, real quick before for me, I think the Nats, I mean, I'm a fan of the Dusty Baker hire. So I think of the Nats as the favorites of the NL East. I think they'll win the NL East next season. That's just, and I'm not a Nats fan, just being honest, being real. Also, real quick, I'm going to read this off on Facebook about the Dusty Baker hire. My man John said, I don't have high hopes for the managerial skills of Dusty Baker. That's kind of dirty, huh? I think.
Well, elaborate is what I want to do.
Why? I know. He didn't put why.
I think for the most part, it's a mob mentality.
I have an issue.
No.
I have my own little thing.
If you apply for a job, what do you submit? A resume.
But you know
his
what?
Resume speaks to the fact that he can manage ball clubs and take them to the
well,
playoffs.
This is
as Wally said.
This is, yeah, I'm with you. This is my issue with the whole Dusty, I'm going back to the Dusty Baker thing, is that Dusty Baker has shown you like resume. He has shown you a decent resume. Again, he's manager of the year three times.
Three times,
right? If we're comparing him to Bud Black, this shouldn't be an argument, in my opinion. If we're comparing him to Ozzie Guillen, like a race, it's an argument because you can say Ozzie Guillen won a World Series. You can say that to me, and I'll be like, okay, you got me. But Bud Black, what has Bud Black done?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. So so for you to favor Bud Black over Dusty Baker, that's when I have an issue.
Okay, I'm going to play the advocate. Joe Gibbs won how many Super Bowls? Three as a Redskins coach?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when he came back, people, skeptics said, he's outdated. He's done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of where fans are coming from with Dusty Baker. And Dusty Baker does not have a ring, which is why people are feeling the way they are. They feel like he's done.
I'll say
but
this.
But Davey Johnson succeeded with
this.
The difference between when Joe Gibbs came back and Dusty Baker coming back, the game had changed dramatically since Joe Gibbs had left. Baseball has not changed at all.
Baseball never
changed. That was
my
point with the whole adjustments. I mean, you really can't make too many adjustments.
Well, baseball, if you're like, you got a baseball mind, you have a baseball mind. It is what it is. Like, all you can change, only thing that's different,
analytics.
Yeah. Or if Dusty Baker went to a coach from going to the, because he's been an NL manager all of his life. If he went to the AL, then I would have been like, all right, well, you got me. But he's going to the National League again.
And truth be told, there's only one guy who's really, people would say, kind of, from a managerial perspective, has kind of innovated the position, and that's Joe Madden.
Joe Madden, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to look back at some of Dusty Baker's decision-making. I cannot speak.
Everybody leaves on the Cubs because they feel like he ran Mark Pryor and Kerry Woods down.
Into the ground,
yeah.
Well... That's yeah, only Kerry thing. Wood, by the way, but
yeah, Kerry Wood, not Kerry.
I know you're talking about, but no, nah,
I said Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair assessment.
I'm not. I said Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood. I said both.
Didn't you say Kerry Williams?
No, I said Wood.
Kerry Wood.
I thought you said. Sorry,
84%.
Proceed, son.
84%.
That's right. I'll take it. Still a high percentage. All right. 8 out of 10. That's why I was going to change my name to.
8 out of 10? Are you serious? I like that one. 8 out of 10. We're going to call you that. 8 out of 10. Frank Beamer is to retire after the season. That's Virginia Tech coach Frank Beamer.
It's only a big deal because he's long tenured. I mean, he's not a top 10 college football coach of all time. And in college,
I guess he hasn't won a championship. You're right. I can't.
People being long tenured in college is so much more common than in pro sports. So it's not a big of a deal, but it is a change of an era.
He's produced some good NFL players.
That's how I look at him. He produced very good defenses at Virginia Tech and also special teams.
Yeah.
Beamer Ball, right? Like D'Angelo Hall.
Beamer Ball.
D'Angelo Hall. Michael Vick.
Chandler. Cam Chandler.
Kevin Jones, who gave us the curve. Kevin Jones
wasn't really a good NFL player.
Like Cam Chancellor. You have.
Yeah, it's not a
Corey
whole lot.
Moore.
This one, Fuller. Fuller was good. I mean, he wasn't a star. I mean, he's not a star, but he's produced some good.
He's produced some NFL.
Daryl Tapp was good for a while
until he lost.
Spare me.
I'm just saying.
It's not a lot, though.
It's not that
significant.
I'll say this.
It's just a change of an era. He's a long tenure coach.
I'll say this. Congratulations, Frank Beamer.
You can disagree all you
want. What? It's the truth.
No, he did a good job in VTech. I mean, it's VTech. It's Virginia Tech.
He essentially built Virginia Tech.
Didn't Bruce Smith go to Virginia Tech?
Yes, he did.
Come on now. Like, everybody can get one. Like, for real? Like, Bruce Smith? And don't get me started on Bruce Smith. I'm anti-Bruce Smith. Continue. I'm sorry.
No, but like I was saying, congratulations, Frank Beamer, on a successful career, and I hope you much success in retirement.
Totally agree. He's been good for Virginia area.
He's been good for that Blacksburg area.
Definitely.
When the last time you been to Blacksburg?
Have
you ever been to Blacksburg?
He's been good for the Virginia
area. I have never been to Blacksburg.
Where's that near?
Exactly. It's not even near Hopewell. Shout out to Fox Sports.
So you take 66 West.
You've been to Hopewell, but you ain't been to Blacksburg.
I know D Hall with Virginia Beach, man. It's close enough. Virginia Tech. All
right.
Will T, where's the near?
That is irrelevant. I'm being funny to a degree, but to me, it's just not that significant.
I want to know where it's at.
Blacksburg? Oh,
yeah, you know where it is? Yeah, you know what's near.
Down, take 66 West out to 81. Take 81 all the way down.
What's that near, though? What's it near? Like a place that's near. Because I have no idea what 66 West is going to lead me to.
No, I know it. Past Front Royal, I know where to go. I mean,
far from Richmond?
You head out toward Harrisonburg.
It's real far from Richmond?
Not real far. It's about 2 hours.
That's the opposite way.
You know what? Yeah, then I would never be.
I mean, that's irrelevant. Don't get me wrong. He was a solid coach, but I just feel like, in my opinion, it's not relevant. He's not Bobby Bowden. He's not Spurrier. And he never won a championship. Like I said, he's just long tenure. He's not even Mac Brown for real.
No, he's just as good as Mac Brown. Mac Brown got a championship. He's just as good as Mac Brown. Mac Brown isn't. He's in Texas. That's the only blessing he's been. He's in Texas with nothing but talent in Texas. That's just my opinion about the Texas.
Look at them now. I mean, they're getting better now, but I'm just saying, just because you're in Texas doesn't guarantee you can be good. A&M was bad for a long time.
But they compete now at a high level because they got so much talent.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But
look
just
at
because
Baylor.
You're located,
Baylor was a doormat in Texas. You get the hand-me-down talent, and you can still produce at a high level. Because you get good. You get superb athletes.
It's easy to say that now. We were talking Baylor football 4 years ago. Even pre-Johnny football, A&M struggled year in and year out.
Tannehill was on A&M, right?
I don't care.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm just saying Texas gets – like, I look at Texas, you get hand-me-down talent in Texas. This is not how I look at Florida. You get hand-me-down talent in Florida.
Well, the thing is, the Longhorns are supposed to get the top talent, so why aren't they good?
That's true.
Coaching does play a role. I don't know what happened with Mac Brown specifically, but – in my opinion, you know, he was there for a long time for a reason. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech was good for a while with Crabtree.
That's Mike Leach, though. Mike Leach is the reason.
Mike Leach was good.
Yeah.
But Texas Tech, I mean, they've been whatever. They haven't been good every season either. So, Texas does have a lot of good football talent. It's a rich tradition. That doesn't mean that the best players always come from Texas, which we already established. Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, West Virginia.
I say he got a boatload of talent. That's all I'm saying. He said the best. He had a boatload of talent in Texas. That's all I'm saying, dog.
In Texas. Here's the thing. That's your what?
My opinion.
I mean, based on what, though?
It's based assessment of watching the NFL and watching college football.
You don't keep up with high school sports, so I know.
No. When they tell you, like, when they say what school they come from.
See, you can't do that, though.
I can't do that.
you can't watch varsity blues like, man, Texas.
Go ahead, man. Hey, anyway, down to pregame, JT Barrett loses scholarship because he had a DUI arrest. Does this hinder the Ohio State positioning to go to the national championship?
Nah, they won without him last year. Doesn't matter.
You think it's, what about you, Will T? Think it's like a big thing? Not at all. You don't care? Yeah, this thing sucks. I feel you, dog. Will T hit me with the no dice joint. No dice. Not a good one.
Cutthroat kitchen.
But I don't think the whole JT Bird is going to be a big deal. He wasn't playing good football anyway before.
Urban Meyer's the man.
He made that decision. Is he really the man?
The one. Yeah, I mean, I believe that Jim Trussell can learn from him because he tried to overlook a lot of things when he was there, clearly. I don't know why. Was it loyalty to players? Was it, you know, the power of the Ohio State program? Whatever it was, he made the wrong choice. This is the right choice. This is how you win football games. Next guy up. That's the real mentality of a good coach.
I dig that. I think JT Byrd is overrated. I think.
But Cardale Jones is bad too.
He's bad too.
Urban Meyer, if you can win a championship two with Tim Tebow, you can win another one with Cardale Jones.
Anyways, about time for commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll be talking about the Redskins against the Patriots. Is this game a throwaway game? Because no one really expects the Redskins to beat the Patriots for real. I don't, be honest with you. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
Yeah, Scholar Diggins. Thank you. Keep bringing the hits on, Wally and Will. We forgot Ray G's. It's okay though. She did. She forgot you though. She didn't carry you though. She just, you know, she just met us that night. Slight oversight, man. She was, you know, she was a sweetheart though. Very nice young lady. You know what I'm saying? Viv from Applegee's. Is she playing for like Texas or something?
Who?
It's Kyler Diggins. I'm watching WNBA. I ain't gonna lie to you.
She plays for Tulsa.
But yeah, she said something about the team that they're gonna be playing in Texas now. She's like, Wally, come over. Wally, come visit. Because Kyler Diggins is gonna be in town now. Like I didn't.
Yeah,
I don't pay any mind.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
Shoot, if I have a home in Texas, I'm gonna go down there. And absolutely. They can set that up, man.
Gotta go see Skyler.
I know.
Never won a championship.
She said she's never won a championship.
Gino Auriemma. She's the man.
Oh, he stops everybody from greatness, right? Stops everybody from greatness.
I mean, he's like the. Yeah, I'm not going to. Let me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my mouth shut.
Right, anyway, real quick, you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbeam is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Grid Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. Excuse me. Again, our phone lines are open. The number is 478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Right now the Capitals are getting killed, aren't they? Good Lord. Like 4-1 to the Rangers. Anyway, the Redskins are playing the Patriots. Right? Playing the Patriots. Before I go into prediction, I want to go to the predictions right now. I want to predict the game right now because that's too easy. But just say this. If Kirk Cousins, it's too easy. I'm serious. I'm being real. If Kirk Cousins, right, has a good game against the Patriots, should the Redskins consider giving him an extension?
No, you don't give him an extension off of just one game. You got to go off of his whole body of work. I mean, now, of course, you know, this game for some people is going to be weighted a little bit extra, a little heavier, because it's the Patriots. They're undefeated, and you're going to Foxborough, if I'm not mistaken, right? The game's in Foxborough,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's in New England.
Yeah, you're going Foxborough. To Foxborough with a team that's undefeated. And I think Washington is what, a 13-point underdog, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I'm sure they're double digits.
Yeah, double-digit underdog. So, no, you don't give them a you don't give them a contract extension just off of one game. But I think what you are able to do is you're able to assess Jay Gruden's level of preparation of how he prepared this team for this game. This is a team that's coming. Washington's coming off a bye week, going up to New England to face the Patriots. There's no reason why this game should be a blowout. This game should be heavily contested and relatively close.
In your opinion, what is the price tag for Kirk Cousins, realistically, if you're able to think of something off the top of your head right now? If not, I understand, but I'm just asking.
Wow, this is going to lead to think about this.
We agree. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, you want some chips?
Yeah.
Yeah, give me some chips. I offered you one. Hey, man.
You want no Fritos? My Fritos ain't good enough for you, son.
Nah.
Like, you just going, like, look over the Fritos? I thought you was asking for Fritos. That's job messed up. Hold up.
Hey, go ahead.
So Pringles is better than Fritos now?
Yeah.
All right. Continue. I won't say anything.
That's that juice setting in now. Look, if you can't think off the top of your dome.
It's not the juice.
If you can't think off the top of your head, I understand. But here's the thing. I think it's a general consensus that Kirk Cousins would be pretty cheap, relatively, right?
Yeah.
So my thought process is you go ahead and sign him and you tank. I mean, you're going to do your thing this season. Maybe they can win the NFC East at 8-8. We all said that could be the record, which gets someone into the playoffs. But next year, you prepare to do what Dan Snyder always does, and you get the best player possible, and that's Leonard Fournette. You do what you can. You start now thinking about how can we get this guy on our roster. The best player in college football. He's ready for the league, of course. We can't even get into the whole discussion why he's unable to come out, but why not? So go ahead. Kirk Cousins is not somebody you think or any of us believe is a long-term answer. And as long as he's the starting quarterback on this team with this type of roster, no one, I think, would imagine the Redskins would win beyond maybe 10 games. I think that's his ceiling. So, with that being said, why not? Why not prepare that? Is McLuhan going to do things differently? Can he have the final say? No one has to this point. The Redskins have done this time and time again where they've signed the best player, they've traded everything. So, why not do it one more time? Because Leonard Fournette is going to be worth it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it for no running back.
What?
I know. I love that.
He's a once in a generation type running back, like an Adrian Peterson type.
I'm not doing it for running back.
Because everyone's saying that there's a new, younger Adrian Peterson, Todd Gurley.
I've been hearing that he was the next Adrian Peterson since.
Well, Leonard Fournette's a beast. I think he's very comparable to AP. I do. I'm not going to knock that, but that's not something that this team needs.
And in my opinion, he's better than a young AP was.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
No, I don't think so. Not the AP.
They both break away speed.
AP looked faster than looks faster.
He does in the open field.
Yeah,
right.
He looks way faster.
He is faster, but don't to me, Fournette is his speed, his breakaway
no, he's not
speed
slow.
Is deceptive. Yeah, it's deceptive though, because it doesn't look like Randy Moss. Randy Moss ran like what a 4.1, but he looked 4-2. Like he was running like a 4.7. Yeah. But just looking at him.
Yeah. No, I'm not knocking. I just think the AP just looks in Oklahoma. I don't.
AP was don't darting up and down. He was like Marshall Faulk or not even.
He just looked. Like,
yeah. I'm just saying. Like when you think about great running backs and how they broke away, you know, with their speed, Adrian Peace remind me. I mean, Marshall Faulk in college, he looked like he was he was going up and down the field.
Marshall Faulk was a G. Back in San Diego State.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not.
So that's why I'm comparing. But Leonard Fournette to me looks like Adrian Peterson type. Maybe he's not as fast. I'm not saying that. But I think he's better than young Adrian Peterson.
Best
and he can catch out the backfield though.
The best
Adrian
rookie.
Adrian Peterson couldn't in college. Well, maybe I'm wrong about it.
No, he didn't really catch. He didn't throw the ball.
He needed to.
Like,
and he ran so high though.
He runs the same way.
I know he does. I'm just saying that's what Leonard Fournette is different for me.
Anyway. To me, the best running back in college I've ever seen is Marshall Faulk. That's just me though. Like that's just in San Diego State. He was buried to me. But what about you, Wilty? You making that face?
Nah, I mean just off of the tapes I saw, I didn't actually see this.
Yeah, I'm
guy
saying. Well, yeah.
You didn't see Marshall Faulk play?
No, I'm talking about this else. Guy. The next guy.
Oh,
Eric Dickerson.
Oh, he's the.
Oh, no, he looked trill. No, he looked trill. I'm just going off.
I never watched him.
Who looked trill on his college? Thurman Thomas like a beast in his college tapes, but I can't. For me, I'm just watching the players that I watched.
I saw Bo Jackson in college.
Oh yeah, Bo Jackson showing his was like.
And he was the same way. He was the same way. So I guess it's hard to determine. Marshall Faulk might be the best college running back.
I'm saying that I watched
of our lifetime.
That I watched. Yeah,
of our lifetime.
Yeah, definitely.
I would agree with that
because you San Diego State. I used to be pressed. I'll never forget. I used to be pressed. We would be playing basketball at the rec center where I lived at the time, and I would stop playing ball. When his game was on at 3:30, because it was a late game, so it was 3:30 at that time, and we were just a bunch of his kids will run out the gym, go to the TV, and watch Marshall Faulk play. And you wouldn't be disappointed because you would get a ESPN moment off of Marshall Faulk off just watching him for that one time.
Yeah, I mean Ricky Williams was good in college too, but he was big though.
Yeah.
To me, he was bigger than everybody else. It's not as though he had this breakaway speed because we've seen a lot of great college running backs since we've been alive in our lifetime, whatever. But Marshall Faulk, to me is comparable. The way he dominates, Leonard Fournette, I'm speaking of. To me, the Redskins should start thinking about it. But
so you're basically saying they should tank for
not necessarily tank, but if you re-sign Kirk Cousins, to me your ceiling is about 10 games. You may not even get there depending on how your roster looks. Because I think it's going to take about 3 years to totally rebuild this roster. And McLuhan, everyone agrees
that
he's
thorough, though.
You don't?
No, I don't think it's that serious. Like, again, if you look at positions, but to go about off positions, like, that's how I look at it. Depending on who you keep.
I'll say this.
You don't have a long-term answer receiver.
I think you're a little bit further down the line than a lot of people actually think, just for the simple fact that, for all intents and purposes, that offensive line looks to be a cohesive group.
Yeah.
Morgan Moses has turned out to be a starter that you thought he would be.
He is.
Brandon Sheriff.
He's smart.
At the right tackle.
Somebody called him a pro.
Right guard. Mm-hmm. You got Trent Williams. And then you have what's the guy center?
Corey Lichtensteiger.
The only place you really have a question on that offensive line is left guard.
And he was playing well before he got hurt.
Yeah. Then you look on the D line. Of course Pop Rose hasn't produced, but he's only here for 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year anyway.
You have like Chris Baker. Chris Baker looks good.
He won't be here though.
So the defensive line, although it doesn't have studs, it does look solid.
Yeah.
It looks consistent.
Mm-hmm.
We both know that. Well, we all know that the way to build a team is the offensive and defensive line. So for all intents and purposes, that part looks solidified. Now DeSean Jackson, he'll probably be gone after this.
That's
year.
True. Yeah, we'll talk about that too.
A guy that you think could be your running back of the future, Matt Jones.
That's true.
You still need.
You still need
some players at receiver. Safety is still a question, but
safety is a big.
But if you get all you need to do is get one safety though.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
One good free safety will cover up a lot of that stink back there.
I think you are making solid points, but I'm looking beyond this year and next year. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so what are you looking at?
I'm just saying, like, I'm looking down the road. Yeah, I'm just saying, offensive line. How many good years does like a guy like Trent Williams have left in him?
He has enough. He's still relatively young.
I mean, how many though? At his position, I look at a guy like Jake Long, who played at the top of his game for maybe 6 years.
Well, Jake Long was injuries. That's due to injury. What's due to the player?
Trent Williams has been injured a lot.
Yeah, but he hasn't had Jake Long had the serious injury. Trent Williams hasn't had the serious injury yet.
He's been out for some time, almost every year.
Two, three games.
So let me ask you that.
Plays a role for me.
Let me ask you this question.
But it happens right? All left.
How many years? How many all left years? Tackles, be honest with how you, many though. Years do you think even before Peterson. This team can? I mean, consistently compete, meaning going 8-8, can put together like two or three successive seasons of 8-8 or better.
To me, that's going to be determined on your personnel, and to me, you have to have someone to build around. Right now, you don't have anybody to build around. I think everybody needs that cornerstone to their organization to build around. And that's why I'm kind of campaigning, even though I'm being funny to some degree, because you can't do that. The roster has been upgraded, and based on McLuhan's record and what he's done this year, I think the potential is there for some sustained success, but we have not seen it yet. And the owner is still calling the shots at the end of the day. That's
not
my thing.
Calling the shots. Everybody keeps saying it. What is he called? If he was calling the shots, RG3 would be the starting quarterback. If he was calling the shots for real, Kirk Cousins wouldn't
be
starting.
He's still on the roster, though.
If he was calling the shots, if you're saying calling the shots,
if it was up to Gruden, he'd have been gone.
Yeah, I agree with that. But if you're calling the shots, like your definition, if he's calling the shots,
he's the owner.
RG3 starting. There's no arguments. He's starting. If he's calling the shots, to be honest with you, Alfred Morris would be starting. He wouldn't be getting this. He wouldn't be getting this play.
Is Alfred Morris a?
He's a Snyder guy.
He is.
He's a Snyder guy.
How do you know that? I'm just asking.
I'm thinking of a fan. Like, if you look at the pattern, I'm a fan of patterns. You look at the pattern with Daniel Snyder. If you succeed with him, you're his guy. Seriously, if you succeed with him, you're his guy.
Well, so, I guess Brian Arakpo was his guy for 1 year then.
But how long has Brian Arakpo been here? Everybody been wanting him out of town. I'm just being real. They've been wanting him out of town. If you want to use that argument.
A lot of people want RG3 out of town.
I'm just saying, eventually it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Don't get it twisted. Like, it's not going to happen. He will be out of town. I'm just saying that if he was calling the shots, like everybody states that, like Daniel Snyder's calling the shots, this dude will be starting
quarterback.
Okay,
since you're
now.
A fan, you're fairly close to the team now. Do you think that Gruden is a McLuhan guy?
I don't think he's a McLuhan guy.
Okay, so Gruden is gone then.
I don't think he's a McLuhan. I think McLuhan is not biased. He's giving him an opportunity. He's getting an opportunity to see. He's like, you know what? This is the guy you want to start. This is the team you want. This is how you want to coach. I'm going to allow you to coach. But you got to be successful, though.
I think we all know just from his interviews, Bruce Allen has stated that Scott McLuhan has no say on the coach. No say at all. He doesn't have final say on the coach. That's a Bruce Allen.
This whole dynamic is weird for me. I'm sorry, I believe that if it's up to Daniel Snyder, then Gruden is going to be gone.
Well,
unless they make the playoffs and win again.
No, I'm saying, like I said, Gruden has to prove his job is to prove to Daniel Snyder he can win with Kirk Cousins. That's what it is. That's just keep it real. All right, that's what it is. That's his job is to prove that he can win with Kirk Cousins. Right now he's showing he's 3-4. So. It's not as bad, you know, if he lost that Tampa game, all reports were, from even what I heard, even in during Skins games, he would have been gone.
Dang.
And he would have been gone.
It's not a surprise considering
eventually he would have been gone.
All that we've seen thus far. But what's next? Because I'm sorry for kind of taking us off topic. We were talking about college running backs.
It's sports, man. This is what we talk. This is what we do. You know what I mean? And back to the topic. I think Kirk Cousins, if he does, is my opinion, but if he does play well against the Patriots because of the Patriots, and for all folks who are not the biggest Kirk Cousins fans or who are his detractors or whatever, when you look at Kirk Cousins, there are things that his detractors and lack of a better term, haters would state that, okay, he can't bounce back from adversity. He can't win a game. He can't give you a game-winning drive. Well, you know what? He's showing you that. He has bounced back from adversity. He's giving you two game-winning drives.
I knew he would do that.
You know what? I saw your blog. You got it.
I'm sure.
I saw your blog.
It's the road. That's the problem.
Exactly. Now you have to prove to the public, to the pundits, to the haters, to whoever that you can win on the road and beat a good team. That's the thing. So to me, if he shows you that, the Redskins have to get to a point where they have to commit to a quarterback. Regardless, you have to commit to a quarterback. this is your starting quarterback right now, commit to him. I'm not saying give him a 5-6 year deal. It could be a 2 year deal worth, say, $10 million a year. If you know, $10 million
still too much for Kirk Cousins.
I'm just saying, but something like that, or an incentive laden deal, right? Something like that. But you have to commit to him to a certain extent. You got to commit to somebody. If he plays well, if he shows you that he can, he's answered the bell with all the negative criticism about his game that showed you improvement. I'm on the side of saying you should give him a contract.
One thing I'll say is he has increased his stock. Because if Kirk Cousins were to say, let's say he gets released by the Redskins, somebody's going to sign him based off this current body of work that he's shown he is capable, and people will consider the situation he was put in, since he was just drafted in the same draft as Robert Griffin III. So I think he has upped his stock, but you can't pay Kirk Cousins but so much money. Like I said, he's cheap. That's why if you do build a good roster around him, you know, you can make a playoff run. I'm not gonna say you can necessarily win a Super Bowl, but you can have some success with a guy like him if you have the right pieces around him. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on offense. It can be on defense. You build a strong defense, then we already know you get a short field. Many quarterbacks can work with that.
Mm-hmm. Like I've actually had somebody post to me on social media was like, well, the reason why Kirk Cousins is playing is to raise his stock. So he could be trade value. So what do you all think about that?
No. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
No, I ain't saying it makes sense either.
It doesn't make sense for the simple fact that if Robert Griffin III steps onto the field and gets injured, you owe him almost $17 million next year. If you are playing Kirk Cousins just to simply trade him, that's illogical to me. You're mm-hmm. going to have Jay Gruden going to bat for him, almost ready to lose his job, making up the weirdest excuses like the wind or, you know, what the receiver slipped. That's why he threw the interception, all types mm-hmm. of crazy, making all types of crazy excuses for Kirk Cousins. That it's just irrational. Mm-hmm. It's not well thought out, in my opinion.
Well, it's the only time we'll tell. Anyway, ESPN's Adam Schefter. I propose that the Redskins, the trading deadline is passed anyway, but he proposed a trade that the Redskins should trade RG3 to the Chiefs for Chase Daniels.
If you're Washington, you will be getting robbed blind on that one. But if you're Robert Griffin III, you will love that because Andy Reid's a guy who's shown that a guy with Robert Griffin III's attributes, he's kind of molded him and got the best out of him with a guy like Michael Vick. But Chase Daniels, what the hell has Chase Daniels done in the NFL that
preseasons, man, he's been balling in preseasons.
He always does for every team he plays for. I know. He plays and to be honest, he played well in relief for the Saints too. Yeah, he has a great arm. He's just small. He's not Russell Wilson. He's Russell Wilson that can't run.
He
throws in more accurate ball than Russell Wilson and a deeper ball than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson just more athletic and more of a playmaker.
You think he'd be a good NFL quarterback? Who? Chase Daniels. If he got the opportunity
to be a full time starter, I don't think he would succeed. No, long term, no. I think he's someone who you can't game plan for if he's a backup. He comes in and again, you underestimate him.
And the funny thing about the Ravens had Chase Daniels.
They did, and you know what? I went to see him when he was backing up Jason Campbell, and he looked better than Jason Campbell in the camp that I went to. I'm serious. I don't like Jason Campbell. You know that anyway. But I'm a realist though, and I hit you up. Matter of fact, I said, man, Chase Daniels looks good. You said he throws a good ball. He's accurate.
No, he played well in preseason for the Redskins. Can't knock Chase Daniels. Well, T, what do you think about Chase Daniels as an NFL quarterback, starting quarterback?
I think he's along the lines of a Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Might be Flynn, too much credit, to be honest with you.
That's insulting.
Matt Flynn,
insulting. Ryan Fitzpatrick is okay.
Ryan Fitzpatrick sucks to me.
Just those type of guy. Geno
Fry, too.
He plays where he goes.
He's a serviceable guy who can come in for get you three. If you have to, you're not scared if he has to play three or four games for you. You feel pretty comfortable. But is he the long-term answer for your organization? No.
I thought you were going to say like Jimmy Clausen or something. Somebody that really sorry. Like really somebody who's sorry. Bad. Yeah, Jimmy Clausen doesn't show any promise when he gets in the game.
Chase Daniel has shown some promise. He's shown some promise, though. So that's what I'm saying. That's why I said
Brian Hoyer. Like yeah, you know, I think maybe Brian Hoyer is actually someone who does play well at times. It's just the organization these guys are with. there are some people who can step in. Like, for example, when Matt Cassel played with New England, didn't he do well? Absolutely, because of it's Randy New Moss. England. No, but it's New England, though.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't do well with Randy Moss. That's Kerry Collins. As
yeah, you're right.
I mean,
organization.
I mean, organization has a lot to do with it.
It does. Yeah. It really does. So when you put a guy on the Browns, I could go out and play a quarterback for the Browns. I'm a struggle too, probably, because it's just a bad environment.
You would struggle, period. What you mean? You would definitely struggle.
Well, McNown's looking pretty. He's looking solid.
Yeah. I mean, you would struggle. I mean, this ain't.
I'm just saying. I'm saying historically.
We both would struggle. This ain't a video game.
I would succeed with Bill Belichick. I bet.
What, throwing a 5-yard pass?
What's wrong with that?
No, it works. Matt Cassel did it all day. That's what happened with Matt Cassel. He did it all day. Threw a 5-yard pass.
Huh? Yeah, you saw what happened Sunday.
Yeah, can't nobody see in Dallas. You hear Dallas is looking at another quarterback now, right?
Who are they looking at now?
I'll have to share that later.
Okay.
I don't want to take us off topic.
We'll talk about it.
But it's hilarious, though, who they're looking at.
Oh, we'll talk about the NFL segment.
Extremely hilarious.
Definitely. All right, so... A trade deadline did pass again, but reports were, you know, people are throwing out there the Redskins should trade, you know, think about trading DeSean Jackson. Would that be a good move?
If you get some good value for him.
If you get value for him, I don't think that's a bad move. Are you going to sign? Are you going to invest in him long term?
I would exercise the option on him. I feel like, you know what? I'm a fan of talent. And there's not a lot of people can do what DeSean Jackson can do.
True.
You know what I mean? And the Rays is always...
He hasn't consistently done it for you these past
But the Rays has always complained about not having that threat. They have that threat. Now, granted, he's been hurt. Yeah. And availability is important in any sports you play. But you do have that threat. You have it. Why not utilize it?
I mean, if you have it, but it's not available to you, what good is it?
Man, I can cut. Like, if I'm the Patriots, I cut him. I can cut him.
So let me ask you this. I think we all know it's not too far-fetched for anyone to say that DeSean Jackson's going to ask for, what, top eight?
I don't think so.
Top eight wide receiver
he
money?
Do you think he'll get that? Do you think they still have the option on him? It's up to the Reds to exercise that option.
If I'm Scott McLuhan and I'm trying to build this team my way.
Mm-hmm.
I get rid of DeSean Jackson.
Man, I'm keeping
it's too
it,
much.
Dude.
It's too much that comes with.
Oh man, I would love DeSean Jackson.
That's what I'm saying. In
Atlanta,
I just feel like
DeSean Jackson.
You're not the Patriots. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not the Patriots. You're not the Broncos. You're not the Seahawks. You got talent. You got a player that people have to game plan against.
He's elite.
Yeah, he's an elite. Talent.
Yeah, he is.
You got it. Like, to me, you can't just let that go.
No, you
period.
Can't.
So, if either you didn't trade him, I know it's a cap hit, whatever you, because that you exercise the option.
The most successful
it's a lot of money out
teams
here.
Are able to bring in guys
it's not a successful
to learn
team.
How to do
it's
it
not
their
successful
way.
Team.
But if you're going to try to build
Look,
this
man, you gotta keep
team
a piece.
In the image of a successful
so
team.
You got to have a cornerstone.
You got to keep a piece, man. Like, I'm with Ray on that one. You got to keep
he
a
done?
Piece.
What has he done to
Look,
justify
he's done a lot,
piece?
Considering his
not
situation.
In Philadelphia, yes. But
no.
What has he done?
Last year, he made Colt McCoy look good.
Last year, he was – last year
even Kirk Cousins, remember that Eagles game?
Like,
Kirk Cousins.
To me, last year, he showed you his worth of what he can do for you.
When
what
healthy,
he could do when healthy. Like, no one was messing with him. It got to a point where it was like, you know that you're at a certain level where the guy that you had in prior years was getting over 100 catches and whatnot. You were like, forget you. We don't need you. We have DeSean Jackson making big explosive plays on a consistent basis for this team. Like, they neglected Pierre Garçon because DeSean Jackson was making consistent plays.
I could see if you have a guy behind him that you're developing.
Totally.
Okay, let's say Pittsburgh. They let Mike Wallace go, right? But they knew Antonio Brown. They knew they still had guys behind him. Washington does not have a whole – they're very
Ryan
thin
Grant
receiver.
Doesn't get open. Like, for instance, like, you can't have – you got to have a replacement with DeSean Jackson who can do – I'm not saying do it at his level, but can definitely be a threat down the field and do it a certain way. I'm sorry, Ryan Grant does not get open. He's not a deep threat. You already have Pierre Garçon. Pierre Garçon is your route runner. He's not your deep threat right now. Ryan Grant is your deep threat. So who's going to play that role? You don't play Ross. Andre Roberts drops 100 balls, drops a bunch of balls during a game. No, like, that didn't sound right. But yeah.
Catches.
Thank you. You know what I mean? So who do you have? Who can you rely on? Crowder is just showing you to be a good slot receiver, but he hasn't shown you to be a good deep threat. The only person you have to fit that role is
Josh Allen. That's why you draft and you develop these guys.
Well, why draft early? When I agree with the draft.
They had Hankerson, though.
Yeah, they, don't get me started on that one.
Hankerson's good.
Look, don't get me started. No, I'm with you. Look, I am. For Redskins fans, I'm the individual who's been pro Hankerson and said that he would be a talent elsewhere with a good with solid quarterback play. Like for Will's opinion about drafting right, I'm with you on drafting right. I'm with you with that. But at the same time, the Redskins can tackle so many other positions and not worry about this wide receiver position. Like Redskins can get an inside linebacker to replace Perry Riley. They can get a safety in that draft to get a safety. To be honest with you, so. And then, so they'll be set if they can do it that way. You can draft other positions because defensively, you said the game is won defensively in the trenches or in the offensive line. You don't got to worry about the offensive line right now. You can fix that. You can fix that front seven though, right? With the draft, you don't have to worry about drafting a premier wide receiver.
What's Deshaun Jackson's option for next year?
It's a decent money now amount. Money amount.
Like $8 million, right?
Something like that. Because you know they got him on the cheap. So yeah, something like that.
So it's like $8 million.
Yeah.
So what's the cap? The cap's going to be like what, 100?
No, see, like I don't know. To be honest with you.
So you're going to spend what?
I'll give him that. I'll opt in that 1 year, man. And draft right. I'll opt in that 1 year. If I'm gonna keep
Kirk Cousins, you have to weigh the cost benefit of it. Yeah. Do you really think you're going to be a competitive team? If you think you're going to be a competitive team, then you can make a case to keep him. But if not, then you don't spend that money on a wide receiver that's not going to help you win.
That's true. I give you that one.
It's like don't get me wrong. This guy is great, but Calvin Johnson in Detroit, mm-hmm. You're not winning anything with Calvin Johnson.
That's because
even though he's a supreme talent.
Ain't his fault.
It's not his fault. So you have to make the determination. Can we win? If we can win, then we keep Calvin Johnson. But if not, what are you paying all that money for?
Well, I posed the question on our Facebook page. Should the Redskins have traded Deshaun Jackson? My man David Mowdy said yes. Garcon as well, but only if we get something worthwhile, second round or higher. Like how would I like if you like do you want to win? Like, yeah. Do you care about winning at all? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you care about winning at all?
See, well, this is the thing because we're fans too, so I can't even say we're fans. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm not a fan of this organization, but just sports fans in general. Yeah. In general, yeah. The value of draft picks is overinflated because if you have an organization that's losing the organization, they could have three first round picks. Mm-hmm. But what does that do if you aren't able to evaluate talent, bring in the talent, and coach up the talent to play the way you want to? So I think people get too obsessed when it comes to draft picks.
And my man Johnny Ford said, Redskins, speaking as the Redskins, we are quick to keep some bum sauce on the roster, but not a legit threat. The Redskins media has an itchy trigger finger on the wrong, on all the wrong matters. You know what I mean? That's not you guys, though. He said, we're cool, though. Appreciate that, Johnny. I know. Thank you for not including us on the negative media play. Yeah, I agree about, like, Johnny cool, man. He ain't tripping off us. Johnny cool. Johnny listens to the show, son. Appreciate Johnny, man. Appreciate Johnny.
Appreciate your contribution, Jonathan.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Well, now go get a cookie, son. Great. Anyway, man, appreciate the Facebook comments, man. Keep them coming. Redskins, Patriots. Okay, well, now we're back to the game at hand, the task at hand. Do you expect the Redskins to really? First off, do you expect the Redskins to have all the weapons in this game? And if they did, does that really matter in this game?
Yes, it matters.
Okay.
I mean, talent matters. No one can ever tell me that talent doesn't matter. The game is won with talent. There's only been one guy who's been able to successfully sustain winning with not the greatest of talent, and that's Bill Belichick. But yes, talent matters. You need Jordan Reed out there to, you know, dominate in between the numbers. You need Deshaun Jackson to stretch the field outside of the numbers. You need Pierre Garçon to run intermediate routes. You need Christian Thompson to be that dynamic third down back, and most important, you need Matt Jones and or Alfred Morris to establish a run game, which you haven't had since the second week of the season.
All right, we know we hear terms like any given Sunday, and you have to play hard because you never know what can happen, right? But I want to ask you all this, based on the fact that
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Based on what I'm talking about, I won't add on to anything.
Based on the fact that injuries can occur, would you coach a Ryan Kerrigan, for example, and say, hey, man, if you get the opportunity, take Brady out?
You want the truth? Or you want like
the I want PhD? The truth.
Hell yeah, I would.
Because real, they like, are to me the Patriots as great as Belichick is, they are one injury away from the Redskins beating them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. If I have a clean shot at Brady, I'm sorry. I don't know, players won't say it. I'm going.
Where
for it.
Is Greg Williams?
Yeah, I'm going for it.
No.
Like okay. Seriously, like, real talk.
Personally, I would not do that because of the person I am, but because of the individual I become.
Yeah.
But from a football standpoint, I've been around sports long enough to know that. There is a part of you that's like, yes, if the best player goes out. When Michael Vick was hurt against the Redskins, there was a collective sigh, like, we want to deal with them. Yeah. You know, you care about an individual, but then again, you don't. You don't know Tom Brady. And Tom Brady's so arrogant, there's people who celebrate an injury.
Yeah.
So, to me, you are one injury away from an upset. But you go in thinking you can win every game. And what do you have to lose? Go in and shock the world. I just don't want to see a 52-7 game again.
Well, you mentioned – that's dirty. You mentioned what do you have to lose? You said that term. Like, what did the Redskins have to lose? So is this like a throwaway game for the Redskins? Like, does it really matter what happens? I mean, doesn't matter what happens, but is this a game where they ain't going this game freely because obviously no one expects this team to win?
To me, if I'm Kirk Cousins, this is when you really play loose because everybody expects you to play down the road, first of all, whether you're playing the Jets, sure. Browns, or the Patriots. And then secondly, it's the Patriots again. So why not just go in loose? To me, when the Redskins have a chip on their shoulder, a la the Atlanta game, they play it at their best. But when they come out flat, like against Tampa, you know, that's when it can get bad in a against a team like New England. And Bill Belichick is the master at game planning, which is scary for me, versus Gruden is not. He's the exact opposite.
No. I wouldn't say – I don't think there's any NFL player that would try to intentionally not. Well, there are some. I think Greg Hardy would, if he had the opportunity. He would take a clean shot at Tom Brady.
Yeah, he sure would.
But I think for the most part, most NFL players,
they
respect the brotherhood, the fraternity. They know that.
You got to be kidding me.
You said,
why do you think late hits occur, man? It has nothing to do with brotherhood. When you out there, adrenaline is flowing. Look, we're all friends, right?
A clean shot.
I'm talking about the emotional aspect of the game. We're all friends, but if we all play on the same basketball team right now in a 3-on-3 tournament for money, we're going to start yelling, we're going to hate each other. We may not talk for a while afterwards.
Because yeah, I'm not going to take none if I have you if and, you come if you come to the basket with your ribs exposed, I'm not going to come and give you what's the guy from
who is it, Jason Pierre-Paul?
No, for when Miami right when they were in the championship.
I'm flicking fingers.
When Lance Stevenson was on the box out who gave the elbow to Lance. Remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, Lance Stevenson when he gave the elbow. Oh. What are you talking about? No, actually I don't. No, which game? Was it the playoff game?
Yeah, the playoff game.
Was it LeBron?
No, Stevenson went out for a rebound, just totally took Lance Stevenson out.
Lance Stevenson went out for a rebound and somebody took Lance Stevenson out?
Yeah, from Miami. A bench player. I forgot.
Oh, is it Whiteside?
It might have been. I don't think it was Whiteside.
Because it went a playoff game because Miami didn't make the playoffs last season.
No, but it was a couple years ago.
Oh, was it?
Anyway, right? Yeah, like.
Was it Haslam?
Might have been Haslam. I forgot who. That's beside the point.
Because Haslam is dirty sometimes.
Go that's ahead. Beside. Like, if one of y'all came to the rim with your ribs exposed, I'm not going to come up and level you with a shot that try to put you on the ground and break your ribs. Am I going to foul you hard? Yes.
Is this a game to go to the championship?
Are you saying us, like as in me and Wally? I don't expect you to do that to us.
Any person.
Here's the thing. If you got a guy, he's trash talking. Tom Brady does that. People don't hear it as much. He's trash talking you. It's a physical game. You have see the NFL is so much different from every other sport because you hockey is the same way where you actually can hit a guy and it's allowed and it's okay. So you can get back at somebody with a hard hit. Now, yes, it is a fraternity, and people do respect him. I mean, we saw that when they backed him with Spygate. However, Tom Brady is cutthroat out there, and that's why Richard Sherman got at him the way he did.
52-7, son. That's how cutthroat he is.
Huh?
52-7. That's how cutthroat he is.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's Belichick.
They both the same people. They both
they cut from the merged. Same tree,
they both merged together.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, man.
Well,
there is a vial about Tom Brady. If I'm playing against him and I get a sack, I want him to feel it. I'm not saying I'm going to intentionally try to break his ankle. But, dude, you think Greg Williams – and you heard this report. Greg Williams was not the only person that has done that. It happens all the time. You get a clean – Michael Vick, it happened too so often. Brian Urlacher, the old Bears. I mean, when you go even further back to the days of Dick Butkus and guys like that. That mentality has not changed. You talk about a game that hasn't changed. Yes, it's faster. They protect quarterbacks, and there's concussion protocol. But as far as hitting and collisions and the physicality of football, man, it's still the same game.
We'll see. You want to say something?
I'm not. Gonna, no, I'm 52-7. That was built. You can't be mad at that because you're professionals and you're supposed to stop me. Stop me. That's all. Stop.
I can stop you.
Stop.
I can find a way to stop you.
Legally. Clean.
It's still
find
legal.
A way to stop me.
It's still legal.
Clean.
It's not legal.
Clean within
not,
the confines of the game.
You can go after somebody and be legal with it. You can. There's ways about it. Like, I ain't gonna lie. If I'm a football player, if Tom Brady's in the way of me getting a victory, I got a clean shot. I'm trying to take him out. But I'm gonna do it legally though.
Like I said,
I'm not gonna go low because I feel like I respect everybody's legs.
Yeah,
like one thing I respect everybody's legs. Because I feel like I'm not gonna end your season. It's like, but if I can take you out with a good hit, I'm gonna make sure for all
clean,
the power,
clean,
for all my power
hit,
on
yeah,
that hit.
I respect that.
My whole point was they are one injury away from being right in the game.
Hey,
your chances go from 0 to 70 at least. If you knock Tom Brady out, that's my point.
Not with you.
So, I mean, Julian Edelman, I respect him, but he was a normal, ordinary guy before he got to
exactly.
Miami.
I would knock him out to the concussion.
Wes Welker.
I would knock him out to the concussion.
In Miami, he was ordinary. He doesn't make the same noise in Denver as he did.
He's not in the league anymore.
Is he? Exactly. I mean, now, I'm sorry. He sustained too many.
He was nobody in Miami.
That's a whole, right, he wasn't. And he was a difference maker.
He was kickoff returner in Miami.
I mean, you can name many people. Deion Branch, he left.
What is he doing now?
That's what I'm saying. Tom Brady makes a lot of people better. So if you knock Tom Brady out, who's the backup? Rohan Davies still? I don't even know.
It's the dude from
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, Garoppolo. Yeah, Garoppolo.
I'm glad y'all know.
He's supposed to be the future of the team. But real quick, what are the keys for a Redskins victory if this season possible?
A natural disaster.
Okay, Wiltie's done. Ray
say that again?
He said, what's the keys for Redskins
victory? Keys for Redskins victory?
He said, natural disaster. I like that one.
Running the football is going to be key.
Yeah.
Because you got to control the clock. You have to play dang near mistake-free football. You don't want penalties. It's like if you bat down a Tom Brady pass, the last thing you need is for a holding penalty to come up. So you have to run the football effectively to control the clock. You have to limit your penalties, and you have to play well on special teams. Because special teams have been a hindrance at times for the Skins. You don't need anything else to go wrong that should not go wrong.
True.
So make your field goals, make your tackles.
One, Kirk Cousins has to play at a high level. The defense has to get Tom Brady in third and long. Not third and five, because he'll just dink and dunk it all the way. So you got to get him in third and long. Got to find a way to get Tom Brady in third and long. Got to find a way to put pressure on Tom Brady. And double Gronk. Go single up on Edelman and Amendola. Yeah, Amendola. Single up on those individuals and watch out for like the rub play. They always run like the little fake pass interference plays, offensive pass interference plays. So watch out for that. But the most important thing for the Patriots offense to get that offense in third and long. If you get them in third and long on a consistent basis, Redskins defense should be fine. But that defense has to step up. They have to tackle better. The bye week, hopefully the bye week helped that team. But this is a game that many people think they're going to lose. I'm in that circle. Unfortunately, I'm probably gonna pick the Redskins to win anyway, but I'm in that circle. Anyway, but that's the thing. Redskins make sure they play solid, tackle clean and whatnot. But Redskins fans, let's hope for a good one. Gotta hope for a good one. But it's a bonus game though. I like it's a bonus game for the Redskins anyway. Anyway, it's about time for commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the Ravens win over the Chargers. Kaepernick now being benched. And now for Blaine Gabbert, that's low. And also, who would you rather have, Kaepernick or RG3? It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock. Perhaps 100 times. Without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it was split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Y'all try to make it next month, soon up there. Fucking shredder, she wrote.
Yellow beat, holla at me.
And chewy on some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I sh. Like you seen him twirl, then he drops. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with my gun. Try to run down and you could catch. Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
The shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up, beat up on my trap house. I've been selling guns like the fifth grade. Really never made no difference with this shit made. That told me flip them packs and how to maintain. Get that money back and spend it on the same thing. Shorty like the way that I ball out.
Ball out.
I be getting money time fall out.
Ball out.
You talking cash, dog, I goes all out.
Ball out.
Shorty love the way that I floss out. Frequency them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no
Catch
my dog.
Bobby Smurder.
That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog break. Pound. Free fan on them, let all of my dogs out.
Nate, probably. All right, Bobby Smurder, back from break. You don't like the Bobby Smurder joint, Will T? We always talk about this. Why you don't like the joint, dog?
It's like you don't like Future and Drake.
I don't.
Diamonds on me dance.
No, I don't. Hey, I don't think I mentioned it on the last show. Crit, awesome.
Yeah, how was it?
It was great, man. I'm going to say this again, because we went, you know, it was a good experience. But for folks who never, you know, aren't the big Crit friend, they came out to watch him that night. I feel like they became a fan because he just his energy, man.
All you gotta do is listen to his music, you'll become a fan.
Yeah, I agree.
Cause yeah, I'm eating chips right now. Sorry, folks. Fritos are bomb. It's a good life. But yeah, his music is awesome. Just waiting for the new album. You got the mix joint?
Yeah, I got the mixtape.
I haven't really heard it yet. Is it bomb?
I haven't really listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the rest of the public. I like to listen to like one album, concentrate on that for.
So what's the album you concentrate on right now then?
Future and Drake.
Okay,
what a time to be alive.
Now I can't talk to this. I can't talk to Will anymore.
And Disclosure. And the Disclosure album.
Okay.
So those are two albums I'm listening to in rotation for me.
I love my man Will
right
G.
now.
So now I can't listen. Now I can't talk to him right now. He mentioned Future and Drake. We're still good friends. Like we're best friends though.
Yeah, man.
Still, but yeah. not like Future and Drake though.
Diamonds on me dancing. That's my joint.
Is that the joint? What's the who's in that song? That's Future and Drake, right?
Yeah.
Jew played that joint on the.
I told him. I was
the
like,
dude was hyping that song. He was
song is tight, man.
He was hyping that song on the bus. I was wondering, like, what the fuck you keep talking about that song for?
Song is tight, man.
Unbelievable, man. Now I know where you got it from. Anyway, you can call the numbers. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Again, our phone lines are open. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene, so make sure, if anything, you want to tweet us, tweet the Urban Sports Scene. Or if you want to comment on any of our posts on Facebook, just make sure you search the Urban Sports Scene and hit the like button, and you can see all of our posts on Facebook. Anyway, the Ravens defeated the Chargers. Didn't think it was going to happen, but they did. What's next?
29-26.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of Steve Smith. Steve Smith tore his Achilles in that game.
He's already stated that he's coming back next year. He has one
official
more
now.
Yeah,
okay.
He said he's got one. He said he doesn't want to go out that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one more year left on his contract.
Well, that's good for the Ravens.
Baltimore,
man.
Ravens. It is. He's having a hell of a season.
Ain't he though?
I think he was projected to have like 94 catches and 1,200 yards.
But let's just say if he didn't come back, right? Would is his career Hall of Fame worthy? And if so, And I don't know if they do this in football. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Definitely not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay.
But once you look at his numbers, you have to definitely give him strong consideration for a Hall of Fame. Is he a for sure Hall of Famer?
I think so. You don't think so?
I'm not going to say for sure, but I do think he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to say for sure, like a lock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think there are maybe five guys in the NFL who are now that are definite first ballot lock Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Brady, Manning.
No, Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers. Everybody saying he's a sure lock as a Hall of Famer.
Calvin. He's got to get one more. He's got to get one more.
Breeze, probably.
Breeze.
First ballot.
No one can hear you from that far away. You named Breeze.
I think maybe.
But Breeze just only has one.
But Breeze is thrown. He had like 3 years back to. He had 3 years of 5,000 yards.
Oh, okay, got you. Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers got what?
Aaron Rodgers is too.
His stats are pretty good. I mean, if you want to. I mean, I'm with you. I mean,
Aaron Rodgers only has 8 years as a starter.
That's true. So I know what you're saying. So ain't something premature happens to him.
Yeah, it's something premature.
What about Calvin Johnson? His stats are pretty good at the wide receiver position.
I don't think he's first ballot.
Oh, I think so.
I don't think he's first ballot.
The way
ballot.
He's going, he, I mean.
Charles Woodson is definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Definitely.
I'm saying if
Calvin Johnson's going the pace he's going now, you don't think he's first ballot?
No. If Calvin Johnson's career ended right now.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Even his consistent 20 plus, like 15 double digit touchdown seasons, that's hard to take him. He's going to pass Moss and Terrell Owens.
I'll say yeah.
Because he's going to pass those two.
Yeah, I'll say yeah.
No, he's a Hall of Famer, not a first ballot.
He's not a
first. So would you say T.O. is a first ballot type of Hall of Famer?
Yes, to me he
is. But Calvin's going to pass him. He won't get in first ballot. But Calvin's going to pass his stats, though. I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you. But Calvin's going to pass his stats.
He could potentially.
Barring injury, he's going to pass his stats.
That's barring injury.
Okay.
I mean, and who's to say we don't know the level of quarterback play that he'll be playing with?
Cool, Calvin. Yeah, that's true.
With Matt Stafford. Look how Matt Stafford's starting to regress.
Horrible. He looks horrible anyway. Like, horrible. Just horrible. All right. So let's go to Kaepernick. Kaepernick has been benched by the Niners.
Kaepernick is gone.
Is his career over in San Fran?
I think it's gone to San Fran just because of the way that contract is structured, for one. For two, San Francisco is a sinking ship. Mm. So if you're San Francisco, why are you going to pay this guy $16 million a year who hasn't shown the progression that you would like from a quarterback position? And B, when you have a team that, for all intents and purposes, around him is steadily degenerating. So why pay Colin Kaepernick? And plus, you benched him for Blaine Gabbert.
He don't get any lower than that, seriously.
This is like rock bottom for his career. You've been benched for Blaine.
Well, they had to make
Gabbert.
A change, and that's the only individual that was on the roster who was capable of starting.
But still, Blaine
behind
Gabbert.
Him. Well, he wasn't winning. As an Atlanta fan, I kind of appreciate that, considering that the Falcons played the Niners this week. But it's no guarantee he wins in the league. Blaine Gabbert is not that bad. But Colin Kaepernick has been that bad lately, and I also think it's a testament to the job that Harbaugh did, and a testament to how the league adjusted, which is no secret, of course. But I don't know if Colin Kaepernick did enough to get better. I'm not close enough to that team, or do I follow the 49ers to really, be able to make a determination or a good assessment, but. Clearly, he wasn't winning any longer. I believe that this is the beginning of, you know, tanking or rebuilding, because the team is probably demoralized. You're losing anyway. Your quarterback has not been playing well. It's been ugly at times. And then you make this replacement. You got a new coach who I don't know if everybody is gelling with him or vibing with him at this point. Because from what I heard, the locker room was split on Harbaugh, correct? So I'm sure there's still some Harbaugh guys there like, man, this is ridiculous, shaking their head. You've added some pieces that have not worked during the offseason. I think it's just overall a negative situation, and it's one that Colin Kaepernick himself probably wants to be removed from and get a fresh start. But the thing is, there's typically no suitors for guys like him. The Redskins, from what reports indicated, shopped Robert Griffin III.
No one wanted him.
And no one wanted him. So why would you want –
I don't believe that, though.
Why would you want – why would you – I believe Adam Schefter.
Nah, the Jets. I heard Jets wanted to, were interested in a couple of folks. Depending on what the value is. Are we talking about value? They didn't want it at the value of the player, at the price, exactly. So I wouldn't say nobody wants him. It's just that how you tailor it. If you tailor it the way, like, nobody.
Well, how can Colin Kaepernick help your team except maybe being a effective backup?
Well, if you think
about
it, like this. If you're Philadelphia.
Exactly.
Who we saw when you have at least a
mobile threat.
A guy who's a threat when you're doing that.
You talking about Foles?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, Foles. Yeah, because at least Foles gave you the threat that he would pull it out and run.
Yeah, when they run that triple.
Sam Bradford.
The read option.
Yeah. Sam Bradford is not a threat.
Because he don't want to run.
He's not going to run. Sam Bradford is not going
to
run.
Because he doesn't want to run.
Yeah.
Not because he can't, because he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick has
his
just
accuracy
as strong.
Is not the
his,
best.
His accuracy isn't the best, but just the way.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's what I'm saying. And you need to be accurate in a Chip Kelly offense.
The passes he throws aren't the same that he has to throw in the Niners.
That's true,
though.
Too, but the Eagles don't have any receivers to me that create separation.
That's true.
At Oregon, everybody's wide open.
That is true.
I can throw to them.
That's true.
But, yeah, he's going to have to learn to squeeze. That's where Sam Bradford is good if you watched. He's accurate. He just, behind that offensive line, doesn't get time. And then, yeah, like you said, maybe
not
the best fit.
And they drop passes.
They do. So it's a tough situation. Sam Bradford is good. Chip Kelly is stubborn.
So, the Niners, you look at the Niners situation, did they pick the right quarterback? You know, they had Alex Smith or Cap. Did they pick the right quarterback?
I think in retrospect, you picked the right quarterback because Colin Kaepernick got you within one pass of the Super Bowl. I don't think Alex Smith would have gotten you that far.
See, here's the thing. I believe Alex Smith was playing well before Kaepernick, you know, got the job. Mm-hmm. It's a similar situation to San Diego, right? It's easy to look back and say, okay, did we pick the right guy? Because Rivers has been excellent, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, Kaepernick, he did reach a Super Bowl. But they had probably one of the best defenses in the league that season.
Mm-hmm.
And if not the top defensive player in the league. And I'm not even talking about Navarro Bowman.
So Patrick Willis.
Right. So, you know, it wasn't all predicated on him. And people – you know, we're slow to, I guess, adjust to that style of play. So it's a tough thing to look back on. But I think that, you know, if nobody would have known who Colin Kaepernick was if Harbaugh didn't make that move. We all knew who Alex Smith was. So in retrospect, it probably was a bad move because Colin Kaepernick is who everybody thought he was outside of the Harbaugh regime.
Okay, so you mentioned RG3 not too long ago. Between these two, obviously these two are in similar situations, both been benched. Which quarterback would you have on your roster between the two, Kaepernick or RG3?
Kaepernick, because his teammates at least don't think he get the dump button is an asshole.
Yeah, you know what?
Had a dump button for that.
That's the main determining factor for me too is the personality. RG3 has become a diva, although you can look at Kaepernick just the way he carried himself.
To his end, he's an arrogant individual.
He's been arrogant. Mm-hmm. He's been arrogant to me. So I think this is definitely a humbling moment for him. But at least RG3, as we spoke of earlier, has a resume.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick before the NFL, although I don't follow every college team.
For Nevada?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
No, he made history. I think he was.
Yeah, he had some records.
The only quarterback to throw for.
Well, where was he? Why was he drafted in the first round then?
Because nobody thought his offense would work.
Exactly, that's my point. So, I don't care about records in college either, by the way, because Colt Brennan set records at Hawaii, daggone it, and so did Jimmy Chang or whoever was the quarterback.
True.
So does it matter?
True. Well, there are some teams that. Cincinnati actually thought about trading up into the first round that year to get Kaepernick. But Andy Dalton, the way the board fell,
that's
Andy
true.
Dalton failed to them. So that's why they didn't trade up into the first round to
good
get
move.
Kaepernick.
Good move for Cincinnati.
Oh, absolutely.
Good
clearly.
Move. All right, go ahead. You want to say something? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, on Facebook, my man Mickey was like, in terms of who would you rather have between Kaepernick or RG3 said, hell nah, not picking these two. Just give that team the first pick of the draft next season already. Mm, okay. That's a good one. All right, Devin Rogers said I'd take either QB, but the real question is what team is really ready to go back to the days of the of old and do what the Panthers have done with Cam Newton? Good point. What meaning take a chance on a black quarterback and really He's really mixed. Build a team around his skill set?
He's mixed.
Why? He's mixed.
He's mixed. His Why? Mom is white.
Who, Cam?
Yeah, no.
Kaepernick.
I don't know that because is he still
he's still black? Y'all know that. Come on, a drop of black. Come on, don't get it twisted. Y'all already know that. They look us the same way. Don't even matter. It don't even matter. Good.
Tiger Woods is black, but
Tiger Woods. I'm not a big fan of Tiger Woods. My man South said, remember they almost ran Cam out of town. That's true. And he said, my man
Cam, Twan, his position is solidified.
Beginning though, they were hating on Cam. That was a time they were hating on Cam.
He's still getting hated on. That's my point. It's just that they're winning right now.
Yeah, so you can't still get it. Yeah.
Whenever they lose, it's his fault.
Yeah, his stats like, oh my god. Twan said he would groom RG3 between the two. And my man Delvin said, Cap, if he had to pick, he would take Kaepernick over RG3.
Heinz Ward is black too.
Is he really?
Even though he goes as like Japanese, right?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the comments, folks. We appreciate it. Let's go to Vernon Davis real quick. Vernon Davis.
Charlotte beating the brakes off the Bulls. What's going on?
That's because I don't know. Charlotte got Lamb. Like, you know they signed Lamb to an extension?
I like
Jeremy Lamb. That's my dude. Hey, with Vernon Davis was traded to the Denver Broncos.
It's a good trade for Vernon Davis.
Fantasy team, man. It's good for my fantasy team. Continue.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Peyton Manning loves to have a tight end that can get down the seams and also can help him in between the numbers. He doesn't have that typical slot guy that, you know, like he had last year with Wes Welker who can get open. So I think Vernon Davis still has a little something left and presents a matchup problem.
What's so funny, child?
Can't present a matchup problem.
I'm laughing at one of the biggest fantasy coaching blunders in history when Wally didn't start Vernon Davis. He had a 3-touchdown day that day. But I don't know. Vernon Davis is going to have to prove himself in this situation. There'll be no excuses. We know that he's physically gifted, but, you know, I think that he's got a lot to prove. The only thing, I guess, I'm a bit disappointed about it as an Atlanta Falcons fan. Apparently, Atlanta was second in line to get Vernon Davis.
That would have been a good one for
Although
you guys.
Jacob Tammy had a very good game on Sunday for the Falcons.
That would have been a good one for you guys. Definitely another speed demon in the tight end position. I think it's a great play. It's a great move for the Denver Broncos. You get some chips, man. You can speak about it. This is the family out here.
Why the man can't get chips quietly?
Look, they're going to make a sound regardless. They're going to make that crackling sound. The folks need to know what the sound is. I'm just setting the move for everybody when it comes to the chips. All right. They good? Are the chips bomb now? Aren't they? Frills like that, dog. Why are you making that face? They Frills are bomb. You need to be, son. They Fritos. Free toes. Free. Best four-letter word ever. I can't speak on the other part of it, though. But yes. The bomb, son. Bomb. Let's get back to Vernon Davis, though. Vernon Davis gets to play with a quarterback that can actually throw. You know what I mean? I gotta put the audio down. You eating them chips? Nah, but you got Vernon Davis, who is an athletic tight end. Julius Thomas reminds me a little bit of Julius. Well, he's before Julius Thomas, but you know what I mean. For Peyton Manning, it's very comparable. So. And Vernon Davis, to me, is a better tight end than Julius Thomas was. And so you get to play with Peyton Manning and Kubiak, the way he utilizes his tight ends. This is probably the most talented tight end. So, I like the acquisition of Vernon Davis for the Denver Broncos. Y'all munching on these chips. I can hear all of y'all, man. Yeah, don't worry. Your chips have airtime, right? They got hang time. Wait, they can't hear you, man. Now they can hear you. Now you're good, Wilty.
It worked. Vernon Davis can be a threat. If they're able to run the offense that Gary Kubiak the way he wants it.
True, that's true. So no, I agree. But yes, but I like the fit. Anytime you got a pass catching tight end or a prolific wide receiver, you get an opportunity to play with a great quarterback, a great quarterback with a great mind like Peyton Manning. It's definitely a win-win situation for that individual playing with Colin Kaepernick, who can't, to me, can't. just can't figure out who's open or not is a hindrance to somebody like...
You said too much.
Who, me? I did, really? I know.
It's all good, though.
To Ray Davis, I know, yeah. I can't get so much I had to talk about in it, one close whip. Man, you had something to say, man? You ain't cut me off by saying it. Now you might as well just talk. Dang, Ray.
I actually want to talk about Ken Winslet.
All right, go ahead. Thank you. Let's go to Ken Winslet. Thank you, Jesus.
No, no, no. Finish what you're going to say,
though. No, I am done.
Because you did make a good point.
No, I'm done.
It was just funny how, just talking about Colin Kaepernick again, that's why I was laughing. Like,
no, you got me. I'm done. I don't want to talk about
He couldn't find an open man. I agree with you because Vernon Davis did get separation.
It's that, like RG3, same thing. He can't find open folks, man. It's cool. Thank you. Go to Ken Winslet.
Throw the ball away, all types of things.
Go to Ken Winslet, man.
Ken Winslet was fired today. As first reported by somebody other than the Urban Sports thing.
But, I know.
I'm not going to lie. I was a bit surprised considering, you know, he has a rookie quarterback and the roster that he took over. I would think he would have been given more time. I don't understand why you fired Jeff Fisher and act like you want to start over. And then you don't have patience with your next coach who took a Cardinals organization to the Super Bowl. The Cardinals. Who are decent now, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I don't
know. Well,
go ahead.
The rumor out of Nashville, Tennessee, is that the reason why the management got rid of Ken Whisenhunt is because they didn't like the way that he was trying to develop Marcus Mariota. They were trying to develop him using the spread offense.
Oh, they wanted him to make a traditional quarterback.
They want to make him a traditional quarterback, which is what Mike Mularkey came out and said during his press conference. He said that he's going to develop him as a prototypical pocket quarterback.
Literally,
they don't like. Obviously, I'm not a Mularkey fan. Obviously, they haven't seen RG3 enough, huh? They don't get that situation.
I'm not a Mularkey fan.
Sometimes you just got to work with what.
As a Falcons fan.
Sometimes you got to work with what
wasting my time
that person does best.
Yeah, to me, I don't understand why teams draft these guys who play in the spread offense.
I agree with you.
To be a typical drop-back quarterback. No. Yes, you eventually you do want them to be that.
But you got
to
do it in baby steps.
You got to do it in increments.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen overnight, so you do what they do best, which is put them in a shotgun, put them in a pistol, roll them out, tell them to use their legs.
The issue is the Titans are in a winnable division. Oh, my goodness. Especially with the Colts having a down year. And I think that's what's frustrating ownership is, you know, even if we win two more games, we're back in it.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville historically has been bad since what was his name?
Since the Mark Brunell days.
No, David Carr.
You saw Von Leftwich.
No. Black dude, David Garrard. He had some decent seasons along with Jones Drew at the running back position. And don't forget Jacksonville back when Mike Smith was coaching the defense. Jacksonville had a good defense for years. But anyway, they haven't been good in a long time. It's always unclear as to whether they're going to stay in Jacksonville. And then you have the Texans, who stink right now. So, and which is a big reason why, again, you go into Houston, a winnable game, because they played Atlanta so tough the week before. I thought, again, I picked them last week to win, and it was a shock that they didn't. And the way they lost, no Arian Foster, you're not facing a good quarterback.
I picked him.
J.J. Watt was, maybe half there, 50% healthy, whatever you want to call it. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back, and it was time to get rid of him.
Yeah, but I paid Texans.
I don't get it though. Why fire people in the middle of a season? I guess it's trying to compare it to real life. People can get fired, you know, any day. So that's how they're gonna do you in football now. But I think they let go of a good coach, and they didn't give them the proper opportunity. And this is where, you know, in sports, players have too much. I guess players make you win, but. You know, who's going to lead the players is so important. As we know, talent can go elsewhere.
Did you see Matt Leinart's comments on Twitter?
What did he say?
About Matt Leinart's hilarious.
About the Titans?
No, about Ken Whisenhunt.
What did he say?
He said...
Oh, because he had a man.
Yeah, he said, finally, Marcus Mariota has a chance to succeed.
Dang.
And then he said, I was right.
He can't coach young quarterbacks? Is that his thing?
Yeah. And he said, and then when it was announced, he was like, I was right. 2 years, I was right.
Wow.
Matt Leinart, I
think he did him dirty to a certain extent.
That's so bitter. It's very
bitter.
Come on now. Everybody watched Matt Leinart. He was not an NFL quarterback. He was a product of his success. Kellen Moore is about to start for the Cowboys. He's a younger Matt Liner.
They get him already?
Huh?
They get him already?
Who? The Moore. Cowboys?
Yeah.
That's what I read. That's what I read. That's what
I gotta read this.
To.
I gotta read this. I thought it was
hilarious.
All right, real quick. So what performance stood out for you during week 8? And we'll get to your quarters.
Todd Gurley.
For me, it had to be Drew Brees and Eli Manning's show on Sunday. And combined for like 13 touchdowns. Passing touchdowns.
Atrocious defense.
It really was. But the Saints don't really have a good defense. Not at all.
Tell me about it.
So what about yourself, sir?
I don't know.
I did watch
football Sunday, but nothing stood. I mean, that was a crazy game, but nothing really stood out to me. What
and
surprised
the Broncos,
me?
The Broncos.
Well,
dominating the Packers.
Well, what surprised me? They were at home, but the surprise for me is that the Colts actually had a chance to win in Carolina.
Yeah, so too,
that
yeah.
was my. I guess that was a big surprise because I remember texting my boy before the game. We both like, man, Carolina going to, you know, this is
you're going to trounce this team.
This is easy. So that was a shocker for me, but yeah, college football has been more exciting than the NFL some weeks. You don't think so?
Another thing that shocked me, that Ken Whisenhunt was the first coach to go.
No, he wasn't. Philbin, right?
Right. Well, I didn't expect Ken Whisenhunt to be gone, Charlie.
Gruden!
That's what I thought. I thought he would be gone after this week.
All right, so what have you learned during the second quarter of the season?
Go ahead. You know who did stand out for me
for
the second straight week? Jameis Winston. Got to give him some love.
Oh, got to get Jameis some love, yeah. They got to.
Got my yeah. guys up out of there.
Yeah.
Even though my guys outgained him, it was turnovers and stuff. But,
anyway. I do want to say, like, big shout out to Jameis Winston, and I'm going to keep saying this again.
He made some big throws in that
game. Merle Hodge, man, you going to eat crow because Jameis is looking like an NFL quarterback for real.
He is. But what did I learn during the second quarter of the season? That if Denver does win a championship, it'll be led by their defense, not that offense.
Tom Brady still got a lot in him. I mean, the Patriots are not done, nowhere close to being done. That's what I learned. I mean, it's amazing because I just knew that with all the offseason stuff, with just the continual changes, and I guess Seattle haven't taking kind of a step back kind of surprised me as well.
What I've learned is that you don't need stats thorough stats to be deemed a great player. You just have to show the world with the eye test that you are a great player. And what I've learned is that Cam Newton is just a great player. To me, he's the best player in football right now. I don't care if you throw for like 500 yards. I don't care if you have a 70% completion percentage. I don't care if your quarterback rating is over 100 or your QBR is 88. When you look at Cam Newton, he wins. And he wins in clutch situations. He can throw 3 interceptions and only throw 2 touchdowns. But the way he does it is special. He's giving you a rushing touchdown. He's giving you about 40, 50 yards off rushing. He's throwing for about 200 yards. The dude, to me, I know people want to say Tom Brady, but this guy lost Benjamin, his best wide receiver. Ted Ginn Jr. drops every pass in the book. And he still puts up numbers, and his main target is Olsen, the tight end. I'm sorry, but yeah, when I look at Cam Newton, what he lost and how he's producing this team to be undefeated, to me, he's the MVP.
Their defense is really good.
It is.
And Cam has always been like that. Because in college, how many comeback wins the 1 year at Auburn did he have?
Mm-hmm.
But now I think Julio Jones has been the best player in football for the first 8 games.
Well, yeah, you're biased.
Nah, I mean, even if I wasn't.
Yeah, you're biased. But Julio Jones ain't leading to an undefeated season.
Well, he wouldn't anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Cam is, though. With that defense.
He's a quarterback. So, yeah, quarterbacks are usually looked at and running backs as leading a team.
Yeah, I'm saying. That's the truth, though.
Generally, like, Randy Moss never led a team to undefeated record.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not arguing with you.
But, No. I'm not either. I'm just saying I feel like best player. I feel like Julio Jones has been that. But, you know, again,
I can say AJ Green.
AJ Green hasn't been the best player.
I think Carson Palmer.
That's a good one.
That's a good argument.
Yeah, his stats are crazy though. It's crazy.
I mean, the it's so much you can take from the first quarter, the first 2 quarters of the season. Like the Raiders, who saw that coming Sunday?
I did.
A blowout?
Nah, I did.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
I did. Not gonna lie to you, I didn't.
Derek Carr is really proving naysayers wrong right now.
I believe in Derek Carr though.
You and nobody else, because I mean, I'm speaking of the mainstream media.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like it. I like
because of his name.
No,
first of all.
Fresno State. You watch him and Fresno.
Yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, the media based every time they talked about him leading up to the draft, right? Exactly.
Because his brother.
That's what I'm saying. So You know, but it's a week-to-week league, though.
We'll all keep right. it moving. Well, it's time for our picks. Will is 54-35. Last week, he went 7-7. I'm 59-44. Last week, I went 10-4. Ray is 29-12. Last week, he went 11-3. So, Ray, you had the best record last week, man. So
I picked safe last week. I did.
All right, real quick. Browns versus Bengals in Cincinnati.
Bengals.
All right, Packers versus Panthers in Carolina. That's a good one. All right, well, I got the Bengals too. I'm sorry.
I figured that.
Yeah. I'm going with
I'll take Green Bay.
Green Bay? Okay. Yep.
I'm going with the Panthers.
I'm going to Panthers as well. Redskins versus Patriots.
Patriots.
This is hilarious.
Patriots.
I'm going to choose the Redskins. I don't really mean it, though. I'm choosing the Redskins. I'm not really meaning it, but I'm choosing the Redskins.
Why?
Because I just have to. Titans versus the Saints.
No, you don't have to.
I do.
Saints, come on.
Titans versus the Saints in New Orleans.
Saints.
Dolphins versus Bills in Buffalo.
Give me the Bills. Tyrod Taylor comes back.
And that's Sammy Watkins Jr. is back too, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to Bills as well.
I'll take the Dolphins.
All right. Rams versus the Vikings in Minnesota.
Minnesota keeps on trucking on.
I got Minnesota as well.
Minnesota.
Jacksonville versus the Jets. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be in for the Jets.
But Geno right now.
I'll take the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to Jets as well. Geno had a good game. He can't give me Jacksonville. Geno said, all right, dude, give me Jacksonville. Raiders versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Raiders just look good there.
Give me the Steelers.
I'll take the Steelers, too.
Give me the Raiders. Giants versus the Buccaneers in Tampa. I know I'm a pick.
I'll take the
Give
Giants.
Give me Tampa Bay.
I'll take the Giants.
Give me Tampa. I think James is on the roll. Falcons versus the Niners in San Fran.
Oh, Atlanta.
It got to be Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Broncos versus the Colts in Indy.
Ooh, give me the Broncos.
Say the Broncos.
Dang. How many losses did the Colts have already?
Five. 3-5.
Give me the Colts. Give me the Colts.
I'll take it a step further. Give me the Broncos, and Chuck Pagano was gone if they lose this one.
Okay. All right. That's a good one. Eagles versus the Cowboys in Dallas.
Eagles. Cowboys look atrocious.
I'll take the Cowboys. How
about give me the Eagles? Bears versus the Chargers on Monday night.
Bears.
In San Diego?
It's in Bears.
Bears. What you got?
Chargers.
I got the Chargers as well. Anyway, it's time for another commercial break. When we get back from break, we're talking about the Washington Wizards, 2-1 and their loss against the Knicks. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
People say, I'm going to be the best someday. Someday? I don't care about someday. I care about today. I do the work. For my teammates, for myself, for my city. My someday is today.
We're back on the NBA on Urban Sports Scene TV. I always wanted to say that. Like, it's awesome. The NBA on NBC. What the fudge? Excuse me. The NBA on NBC. That was like the best time for basketball. And I said that last week, too.
I'll always say that the broadcast, that's probably the best NBA broadcast.
Wow, no. You talking about the broadcast teams?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree.
The best broadcast teams.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't when Steve Kerr was announcing games. I did enjoy listening.
Yeah,
to Steve
he did.
Kerr.
He was good. I liked like the post game or pregame. It don't get better than TNT.
Yeah, TNT. It's nothing better than post game or pregame on TNT. But I like the broadcast teams for NBC back in the day.
Okay, so real quick. So we're on the Wizards, and you all listen to Urban Sports, and our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. The Wizards are now 2-1, lost to the Knicks. Do you see something different compared to prior seasons with the Washington Wizards?
Yeah, I see Bradley Beal a lot more aggressive, mm-hmm. a lot more willing to put more on his back and say, I'm the best, I'm one of the better players, not only on this team, but in this league. And I also see a confidence and a – I see far more confidence with Otto Porter. Mm-hmm. Otto Porter looks like a guy who's starting to come into his own. Looks like he really paid attention and studied what Paul Pierce did last year to prepare himself to become a better pro this year.
I think the big men are not as good in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly Chris Humphries. I know he may be tailored for this offense.
Go ahead. I don't know. Now, I want to add to that because you mentioned about the big men. So, you know, the whole talk about is having a stretch four for the Wizards. They want to find the appropriate stretch four. Drew Gooden seems like the best fit on the roster, in my opinion, right now. So, you know, always mention this dude. You think, like, Mike Beasley be a good fit to stretch four position for the Wizards?
No.
That's a stretch four?
From a defensive standpoint, no.
Okay.
Offensive standpoint, absolutely.
Okay. I'm thinking about offensively because I don't really look at stretch four as a defensive player.
Well, yeah, Michael Beasley's too much of a liability defensively.
Okay. I thought you meant personally.
No, I'm talking about defensively as a liability.
See, that's why people need to think outside the box because a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, to me, would have been perfect for the Wizards this season.
Yeah, but they wouldn't waste that. But they want that money on him. They just want for, you know, it's all about KD. They want to save that money.
Well, yeah, I know. But
I'm with you, though. I know what you're saying.
The chance of getting KD. So I'm speaking more so of LaMarcus Aldridge himself. Mm. He wasn't considering Wizards. I don't know what he was looking for per se, but clearly he wanted to go to a proven winner and a proven coach. I get it. I'm not going to necessarily knock him, but he would have been an excellent fit here considering. I mean, Golden State is they're not slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And Draymond Green scored 21 the other night. I know we're not the biggest fans of Draymond Green here.
I'm a fan of him.
I am a fan of his game.
I mean,
but to me, he's
the
guy too arrogant. He's too arrogant to me now. Way too arrogant, which it hasn't messed his game up, but eventually it could be a problem once ego gets involved. But we'll see. To this point, when you're playing one of the best players in the league and my pick for MVP again, then, I mean, maybe you can have that type of swagger. But anyway, the point being is maybe you don't need a guy – with the status or the stature of LaMarcus Aldridge, but somebody like that in your offense, and Chris Humphries is just not the guy. I'm sorry, Nene is not the guy, even though he's upset. I heard from being benched, but
he should be benched. He's
he should be benched, traded,
or cut or something, or released. I
mean, it's like who is out there that can play that position?
That's why, for cheap. That's why I mentioned.
I mean, Paul Millsap because they ran a run
who?
At him.
Who you
Ryan
say?
Anderson.
Yeah, Ryan Anderson's a good one. I'm looking for something cheap so they can still have money. So they can have money to get who they want. You know what I mean? That's why I mentioned Beasley, not because I'm a fan of his game.
But you know why that's good too? He's boys with Kevin Durant.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that works too. I'm just saying I looked at it like in terms of like the money. Like you still want to get KD, you can get a stretch four, still on the cheap side. Pretty to be honest with you, on vet minimum, I think he's qualifies for that. You can and to me it's a good fit. Because to be honest with you, Ryan, like Humphries, when he plays another stretch four, he's not the greatest defensive, you know, help for that situation.
Humphries is a better
rebound
post.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
Weak side post defender.
Yeah, I agree with that. That I do agree with. So Bradley Beal, we'll mention Bradley Beal. The Wizards chose not to extend his deal, his contract, before the deadline. So now for the offseason, he'll be a restricted free agent.
I mean,
any thoughts about that?
It's a strategy for them. No, it's a strategy.
It's a KD strategy, right?
They're gonna match anything. They're gonna have the cap space to get him and KD once you get Nene's contract off of the books. Then also, who else? I think they have like one or two other guys that have expiring contracts this year. I think Chris Humphries has an expiring contract this year.
So what about – so say – could you see a scenario where they decide to sign and trade with OKC, including Bradley Beal?
If you OKC, you would want that.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know how that would work with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
But if you OKC, you definitely want that. But I don't think it's going to get that far.
Okay.
I think the Wizards lock him up and – if they're able to make a successful run at KD, they will. But if they don't get KD, there's still plenty of options out there that can help help this team.
All right, let's go to Kobe Bryant. He made some news. Kobe says he freaking sucks right now. He called himself the 200th best player in the NBA.
I'm not going to say 200th.
He called himself that. You said.
Yeah, like he called himself that, but he's not the 200th.
He's being too harsh? You think he's being too harsh on himself?
I'm not saying he's being too harsh.
I think he's being honest.
I think the level of expectation that he has when you take everything into consideration, his age, his durability, his health, he's not going to meet that level. Just because Kobe Bryant thinking he's going to come back and be the Kobe Bryant of old, he's delusional. He's almost what?
He's very delusional. I've been saying
that. He's in denial. He's in serious denial. And Byron Scott knows it, which is why he said take a day off and spend a day with your family. You know, kind of get back in touch with reality. You know, this is it. You're not going to be the player that dominates forever. Everybody, you know, experiences this. Mm-hmm. It's time to move on. He's somebody that can easily get a job in television and stay close to the game. Although he's not as entertaining as some of the guys we mentioned earlier on the TNT set. I don't know where or what or how he would work in media. I don't think he's going to make that move, honestly. But he's got to figure out something because it's time to move on. And you're going to hold people back like Julius Randle and the younger guys. If you continue, even Nick Young, to me, you're stunning his growth. If you continue to try to play and thinking he can still play at a level that is just not possible right now.
Ray, you made a great point that he is holding a franchise hostage.
He's been doing that for years. Yeah, he's been doing it for the last couple of years.
You've got Jordan Clarkson. You have
they're going to defer to you. Like, yeah, they're going to defer to you.
Julius Randle. You have Roy Hibbert. You need to start trying to build cohesion between those four guys because those four guys are your future. They're your present and your future.
Swaggy P.
Like, to me, it's like this. He's been doing it for a while. Like, when these players, they're young players, they're going to defer to you. You're Kobe Bryant. You're a guy. You're up there on the all-time leading scorers list. They're going to defer to you regardless. So why not, you know, chill out and take a different role? If you watched the first game against Minnesota, you saw that he wasn't going to change his whole way of playing basketball. He was going to shoot the ball a lot. He's been about that life. That's who he is. And I'm not going to knock him. That's what he does, though.
Well, that's why he's so frustrated, because he feels like he can make these shots still, which he should be able to make. But you know what? A big problem with him is he's an extremist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got to simmer down a bit. I think he has to lower his own personal expectations, which at this point he's not doing. But to me, he said that to make headlines, though, because just his personality.
Yeah, I believe you. All right, LeBron James. LeBron James is the youngest player to ever score 25 points, right? 25,000. 25,000 points. What's the significance of this? Like, is it
LeBron's what, 31?
Something like that. 30, I think 31. Yeah, I think you're younger.
Well, just for me, for what I'm seeing with the quarter zone shots he's been getting the past 2 years, I'm not going to say starting to slow down, but he won't continue at the pace that he's been going for the past 4 or 5 years. What's the scoring points?
To me, it's not significant. I mean, of course it's significant. I'm sorry, but it's not as significant because he's had excellent health throughout his career.
Yeah.
Most of the best players, they missed substantial time. He's been blessed not to have missed any time.
And you have to add this point, too, because he came out of high school, which makes him special at the same time, though. Coming out of high school, he was already dropping 20-plus off the bat. So that's, you know, if you think about the players who came out of high school, the Kobe Bryants of the world, the Kevin Garnetts, I think Stoudemire out of high school, T-Mac. Stoudemire high school scored pretty good, like his first year, his rookie year.
He didn't score like LeBron.
No, not LeBron, but you know what I mean? So LeBron was already 25-5 or something as a rookie, coming out of high school. So you take those stats. So you just take those. He's been consistent of going upwards ever since then. Kobe Bryant wasn't getting playing time his first year. And his second year, he was coming off the bench. So LeBron has always been this player for forever. So when you compare him to like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Karl Malone, Michael Jordan, you gotta look at it like he's been doing it. He's been playing ball at the age of 18 in the NBA. These guys had to come to the NBA in their early 20s, you know, 22. So it's a little different. LeBron got the jump up on most of these individuals. So for LeBron I think LeBron, like Will said, barring injury, he can, and if he wants to, if he wants it, he can break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record because where he started from.
Yeah, I don't think he does. Well, he has a great chance. I just think because of the the wear and tear on his body.
I
don't want to go too far ahead, but what makes it amazing though, and I just thought about this, is that he is unselfish though, because he could score more, and he could have scored more in past games. He should have multiple, or I mean, I shouldn't say multiple, several 50-point plus games.
Yeah, true. All right, so within the early NBA season, what have you learned so far about certain players?
I think it's far too early, but I'll say this. I think that Golden State isn't going to let up. I think anyone who's thinking that the 67 games they won last year was a fluke, I think they're going to come back winning at least 62 games this year.
It's Steph Curry scoring 50, and they beat a team by 50. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
In the first week of the season.
No, I'm – and to me right now, it's early, but it looks like LaMarcus Aldridge is getting settled. You know, last couple games he's been scoring 20. He's going to double-double. He's getting acclimated to the Spurs offense. But anyway, let's get to one of our popular segments. Let's go hard in the paint segment. Walker's play now. So I'm gonna start it off. Last week I had Otto Porter going hard in the paint over the weekend. He did well against the Knicks. I think he had like 16 points against the Knicks. This week I am going to choose as a bench player. I'm gonna choose DJ Augustin. He's played well off the bench for OKC over the last couple games. I think the familiarity playing with Kevin Durant, Texas boys. He's comfortable in OKC with what's the name of the coach? Billy Donovan, who's I think is really good with young players. I like to see. I think DJ Augustin will go hard in the paint over the week.
But
he's young enough for me.
Oh my bad. last week I went with Bradley Beal. That was obvious. He was the leading scorer against the Knicks on Saturday. But this week I'm going with Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm impressed with the Kings. I really am. I think they have the potential to make the playoffs this season. I don't like all of George Karl's decisions, but Willie Cauley-Stein is one of those guys that Wally described earlier. Maybe he won't fill up the stat sheet, but, I mean, look at his body. He's ready. I mean, he's playing great defense. I look for him to go hard to paint.
I'm going to go with a guy off the bench. I'm going to go with Festus Ezeli, center for the Golden State Warriors.
Wow, that's a good one.
Watch what he do this week.
Festus Ezeli. He starts now, too, right? He does start now. All right, I like that one. All right, Kenny, anything next to say about that one, Will T? That was a surprise. That was a surprise. That was a shocker. Definitely was a shocker.
Watch what he do this week. Watch what he does.
I'm with you, my man. Anyway, it's time to wrap the show up, man. It's been a blessing doing this show. Appreciate you all for tuning in, listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're going to continue to give you great sports insight, so continue to listen and click the link. Also, stay on the site, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We appreciate y'all. You all stay blessed. Any other parting shots?
Nope. It's been real, folks. Thank you for listening to us. We'll be back next week.
Anything you want to say, Ray Jeezy? You good? All right, my man Ray Jeezy is good, man. He's ready to go home. I got to be on another radio show right after this. Rev T Soul Revival.
Tell Rev T I said what's up, man.
All right, we'll do
Sports Revival. Yeah.
Sports Revival. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Ray Jeezy. Appreciate it. All right, y'all.
Hell to the risk. Hell to the risk.
Yeah. I had Kirk Cousins' little sound bite. I'm going to play it later. I can't do it now. Anyway, man, y'all stay blessed, man. Hey, peace. Big Ron, hold us up. Damn, man, I messed up, man. You said peace for me. I'm going to say it again. Big Ron, lead us out, homie. He said already? I messed that up again. Big Ron, lead us out. There you go. Now I feel better. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.